coming to you live from my apartment. It's Rob as a Podcast, and now here's the guy who's about to store this podcast over in his rank bank, Rob Cesternino.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of Rob Has a Podcast. I am Rob Cesternino, and I am joined on the line by a man who has been tallying the votes for the last couple of weeks, and he finally is here on the Rob Has a Podcast viewer top 20 results show, Mr. Kaz Kozdrowski.
Hey, Rob, how you doing? What's crack-a-lackin', brother?
Hey, how you doing?
I am awesome. Good to be here. Good to finally get this thing up and running. I know fans have been asking me about it. I get a couple emails every now and then of when are we doing that thing, so I'm glad we're getting it up so the fans can see this.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this too, and I have no idea where this is going. I created a form on the website. The form results went to you. We had a bunch of people voting. How many people cast a vote?
Well, I'll bring that up in a second because I want to see how close you can guess, or maybe we could just do it now. So, because you probably have some idea of how many unique downloads you get and that sort of thing. You have any guesses on how many ballots you think we got?
Well, I don't think that everybody that listens, like, I can't imagine what percentage of the people who listen, like, I feel like there's a lot of people who listen who are just kind of casual or on an iPod. And not necessarily, going back to the website to vote. I would guess, if I had to, maybe around, I'd say it was somewhere between around 150, 200.
Yeah, see, we were in the exact same range of thinking here. I set the over-under at 165 when we did this. And I can tell you, we hit that in the first 36 hours.
Wow.
Altogether, not including the joke ballots, we got a bunch of real ballots. There were 528 of them. So that's fantastic.
Whoa. Yeah. That is pretty fantastic. You guys did a solid job, and you counted up 528 ballots?
Yes. Somehow.
Is that the right number, 528?
About 400 in. I just it got to be the same thing over and over, but it was fine. And, okay. If I could tell my own little Rob Has a Podcast anecdote,
sure.
A couple years ago, I got back into Survivor. I had stopped watching after Africa. And when I watched Amazon back in 2009, I said, oh, man, I love this Rob Cesternino guy. You know, I wonder what he's up to. I'll see if he's on the Twitter and all that.
Yeah.
And I found your YouTube page where you had done some comedy stuff and whatnot. And I thought, oh, this is cool. You know, this is a famous Survivor, funny guy. I bet you he's got tons of people watching him. And so I subscribed to your YouTube page, and I'll never forget, I was your eighth subscriber. So, 2 years later, for you to have 500-plus people sending in ballots for some stupid contest, I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I never really put too much stuff up on the YouTube page. I end up, I've put some more videos up there recently, but yeah, not the best barometer for what I'm doing overall, my YouTube channel.
Yeah, and I think, that was before the podcast got regular, so, go to Rob Has a Website instead, right?
Yeah, we only started podcasting, really hardcore in the beginning of 2010. So, it's a little before all this was born.
And actually, you did a question and answer podcast, like the first one you ever did. And I actually asked who is your top three? And I wish I could remember.
Yeah.
I know you had Brian Heidick at number one. You had,
I think I did sort of like a mathematical, because again, I don't like to rank the survivors, because these are people that I know, and then it always gets people, it gets back to people, and they say, oh, Rob said that you were this or you weren't this. It's very complicated. That being said, I think I did sort of like a mathematical thing of I said, okay, I'm only going to take winners. I was very results oriented, and I only took winners into account. And I took people who were good in challenges and had a good social game. And I think I came up with Brian Heidick. I think Earl just was outside the top three. Yule was in that list. And one other person I can't remember if it was. Maybe it was Earl.
I can't remember. I know Yule and Brian Heidick were one and two, and I can't remember who the third one was. Might have been Earl. Yeah. Let's just say it's Earl. Yeah.
My name is Earl. So that was sort of like the first that was where the original Venn diagram conversation was born.
Oh yes, I had forgotten about that.
Yes, the Survivor Venn diagram. All right, so I am very excited to jump into this. Let me just say before we get into the list, you'll always be ranked number one when you check out the daily deals over at buy.com. Check it out on the Rob Has a Website sidebar. And check out some daily deals. How about that, Kyle?
Absolutely. You know, I'm getting ready to move here in a couple days, actually, and I'm hoping that I can find maybe a bed or something big to get you some commission on that. But, you know, buy.com, Best Buy, all those great stores. I love them all. So, yeah, go there now, guys.
Yeah. All right. And now on with the list.
Yes. And so, like I said, we had, 528 ballots. And, you know, I wanted to clear up the controversy before we do this. I know.
Oh yeah,
some people have been worrying. I'm not going to name names, but you know, Frank Clark maybe. You know, worry that I was removing too many ballots or whatever. What I'll tell people is the only ballots I removed were either people sending in the same ballot or you know slightly different ballots over and over. I had one person who sent in 11 ballots, and this person may or may not be a live tweeter. But I removed those. I removed, you know, joke ballots where, you know, Deb Eaton was named 20 times, you know, stuff like that. Only the ones that were very obvious jokes were the ones I removed.
Yeah, I did see some controversy because you had said you were going to remove the joke ballots and people were saying like, hey, who are you to be taking out my vote? How do you know what's a joke and what's not? But I think just for the interest of clarification, you're saying that the jokes were all very obviously jokes.
Blatantly obvious. I mean, they were the same person 20 times. Or my favorite one was I got one that was Chuck Norris and then 19 people who might have a similar racial background.
To Chuck Norris?
Yeah, no, not to Chuck Norris, to the other 19 people. And I didn't understand why Chuck Norris was in with them, but it was interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, okay. Nicole actually got 1/20th place vote in this contest, which I probably should have counted, but I didn't. And, you know, Frank Clark even got a first place vote. And I looked to see where Frank Clark would finish. He actually would have been in 120th place, which I thought was ironic since he'll probably make 120 comments on this podcast.
All right. Oh, Kaz, you're on fire so far.
I love you, Frank. I'm just messing with you.
All right. Well, all good stuff. Wow. So this is exciting. And I have no idea how this list is going to go.
Yes, you can confirm that I haven't spoken with you about who's in the top 20 or anything like that.
We spoke about what time we were going to do this.
And that's funny. Yeah.
And we're actually doing this very early in the 7 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday.
Yeah, this is maybe the earliest I've ever been awake, and it's 2 hours earlier where you are, so I apologize for that.
Yeah. So, yeah, and Nicole isn't here today. She is she's at work still. Just flying solo today. And really, anything with numbers and math, not really up Nicole's alley. So this is probably going to work out for the best.
All right. Well, I just wanted to, make sure everybody knows, like I said, 528 ballots, 33 joke ballots that I threw out. So that's not a big percentage. And now let's do it.
All right, let's go ahead. So how exactly do you want to – where do you want to start? Where's the appetizer before we get to the main course?
Yeah, there are a couple appetizers. I can kind of run through some interesting things I found out depending on what things you want to cover and what things you want to absolutely stay away from so we don't hurt someone's feelings. You know, anything you want to go with is fine here.
But I mean, I don't think I'm too worried about anybody's feelings getting hurt. All I was saying is that it's awkward when I run into people after I've done my own personal rankings of who's best and whatnot. The other controversy that was sort of like, is this a list of the best, most entertaining survivors, or is this a list of who are the greatest players? And I sort of left it open-ended. But I wonder if I should have been more specific before we started this list.
Well, I can tell you that everyone in the top 20, you could at least make the argument that they are game players as opposed to entertainment, or you know, maybe they're a mix of both. But okay. You know, we didn't have any crazy entertainment only type people make the top 20. We did have some come close, but none of them actually made the top 20.
My thinking was that it was more the top game players, more so than who are just the most beloved characters of Survivor. But I didn't clearly say that. So I hope that that's not going to create a little bit of a controversy here. But well, I'm very excited to jump into this.
All right. Well, yeah, and I guess I should let people know if for some reason you want to see the entire list. I guess I'm willing to post that. I'm afraid it might open up a can of worms, but I guess I'm not opposed to that idea if there is enough interest in it.
So the overall point total
for every single person who received the vote.
Okay, I think that would be interesting if you had it.
Okay, well, if enough people want that, I will figure out a way to just post that on your website somewhere.
Okay. Yeah, that can be done. All right, so where do you want to start here?
Well, I guess I should tell you first that we had 209 people receive at least one vote.
Well, out of how many total survivors are there?
You know, I think it's like 340, because I know there were 300 right around Heroes versus Villains.
I think there were, 301, I think, through Heroes versus Villains. And then how many was Nicaragua?
I want to say 20. It's either 18 or 20.
Yeah, and then we had another 20 minus Robin Russell, so that's 38. So like 339 or something.
Yeah, somewhere
like that.
Right around there.
Okay. Wow, so over 200 received votes.
Yeah, it's that's a little interesting, but you know, everybody has their favorites, which is understandable. Yeah. And nobody was on every ballot. In fact, only two players even cleared 90%, and only 15 players cleared 50%. So, you know, it was certainly spread out in some areas, people voting for, you know, players who not many other people were voting for.
Wow. Okay. Oh, this is very exciting.
So, I could run through if you want. I could do, you know, maybe some surprising players who receive votes or high and low finishes that I thought were a little interesting. Do we want to go down that road?
Yeah, let's do some of that fun stuff first. As far as like the high and low, explain what you mean by that.
Well, you know, I guess this is my own personal opinion, but I kind of went through the list and saw some people who I thought were much higher than I would have assumed, and some people who maybe didn't get as much respect as I thought they would.
Well, let's talk. Do those players ultimately make the top 20?
No, they don't.
Okay. Let's see. I don't want to give away too many results that are people that are close to the top 20. Are they very far outside the top 20?
Yeah, these are all people who are not in the even the 30 to 40 range. These are just...
Okay, then feel
okay,
free.
Okay, so, you know, like, for example, some people who got surprisingly high finishes, in my opinion, were like Ian, the guy who quit in Palau, or... he came in 51st place, which I was very surprised that, you know...
You felt like that was too high.
Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he played a good game up until then, but I was kind of surprised that people were willing to give that high of a vote to a guy who gave up $1 million for friendship.
That seemed a bit of a stretch, but people say that he would have possibly won that season if he would have gone up against Tom in the end. So it seemed like he was a very good player. He just made a really bonehead move.
Yeah, that's true. I don't have a problem with it. I just, I certainly would not have guessed that he would finish that high. Another one I mean, who
50,
I know you'll 51's
love. 51's not that high. Yeah. I mean, 51 out of 339, I could see it.
You're okay with that? That's a reasonable
I'm okay
spot.
With him
okay.
at 51. Yeah.
Another good one that I know you'll like is Sue Hawk. Came in at number 70.
Okay.
And I would not have expected her to crack the top 200. So,
Sue Hawk is a terrible Survivor player, for the record.
I think we can say that there's no risk that she's listening to this podcast.
Oh, thanks a lot, Rob. You know I'm a really good Survivor player, okay? I love Sue Hawk too. I was on the 12 days on Survivor All-Stars that I spent hanging out with Sue Hawk. Now, she was one of my all-time favorites. But she is absolutely terrible at the game. Well, I got voted out by her. So what do you?
I don't think you got voted out by her, but yeah, I'll give you that.
And what did she quit the next day?
yes, after Grindgate. Is that right?
Grindgate, yeah. Oh, I love Sue Hawk. I love how she got a bunch of plastic surgery, got like an extreme makeover, like right after Survivor All-Stars.
Yeah, she probably should have done that before she went, but oh well.
Oh, you know, I gotta look hot. That was pretty good.
And then,
wow, Sue Hawk, 70?
Yeah,
you said?
70. I mean, that's a pretty good spot for Sue Hawk, I think. You know, that's
I think so. That's a favorable spot.
She's gotta
for
be
Sue
happy
Hawk.
With that.
Yeah, it might be fun to you know, I'm getting ready for my whole fantasy football to get kicked off. So Ian, I feel like that's a good spot for him at 51, but Sue Hawk I think is a little bit of a reach at 70.
Yeah, that's about a 10 round reach right there.
Yeah,
it's like the equivalent of taking, you know, Darren Sproles in the third round or, you know, something yeah. like that.
I think Sue Hawk, that's a sell high at 70.
Absolutely. But so now, I can spin it more towards the more positive spin on this, so we don't have to bash people. You know, I got some people who I thought finished lower than I would have assumed. And
okay, still not in the mix for the top 20,
right? No, not
even
close. Okay. You know, and another one from your one of your seasons, a person who actually cracked my top 20, Dina from Amazon.
Whoa.
She finished all the way down in 73rd place.
Oh, below Sue Hawk.
Below Sue Hawk, which I was very disappointed that there was not more Dina respect. I love Dina. I think she's a really strong player. Maybe you can tell me if that's crazy, but I'm sure you're going to tell me she's a very decent player.
Dina was a very good Survivor player. I mean, the thing that happens, though, is sometimes if you're a threat or you make one mistake, which was kind of the case with Dina, you know, you get voted out earlier. And then it's like, oh, well, you got voted out eighth. You're not as good as this person who got voted out fourth. But you really were a better player.
Right.
You just didn't finish ahead of them. And sometimes that's because you're a threat, and sometimes it's because of, you know, luck or whatever, or you're on a crappy tribe. But Dina, I think in a different season, could have done even better than she did in the Amazon.
And am I crazy to think that, you know, say in your sliding doors moment, you go out eighth. Does she win the game?
It's possible. I mean, she sort of overplayed her hand with... you know, it's like if Alex doesn't make the merge. She had a big thing against Alex that she really didn't want Alex in the mix. So if in some alternate scenario where Alex gets voted out earlier or he doesn't have as much control, she doesn't get as crazy with trying to get Alex out of the house. So or too much Big yeah. Brother, sorry, off the island. So it could have gone either way. Who's to say?
But yeah, I mean... I think 73 might be a little low for her. I think, you know, you could certainly argue that she could go a little higher than that. You know, I'm calling that a sleeper in a fantasy football draft.
That's a good sleeper, Dina at 73.
Absolutely. And then, you know, the other one I was very surprised about was a guy who went out before the merge, but I think has a good mind for the game, is a real fan, is Brian Corridan.
Yeah.
You know, he was all the way down in 170th place. And, you know, if I could show you some of the people
too.
That were ahead of him, it would blow your mind.
Yeah, another guy, you know, bad circumstance. He could have been a contender.
Absolutely.
So I know you also have a list of most surprising players to receive a first place vote.
Yes, and there are some very interesting ones.
As long as these players crack the top 20.
Not even close.
Okay, then fire away.
Well, altogether, I guess I should tell you, we had 40 people receive at least one first place vote.
Okay.
And I picked out a couple that were very surprising. The one that jumped out immediately to me was Sean Kenneth from the first season, the Alphabet Man.
Maybe with somebody voting alphabet strategy, although Sean is with an S, so I don't see how.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they came to the conclusion that Sean was the greatest player of all time. But hey, you know, maybe somebody loved that alphabet strategy.
Was it Sean Kniff? Did he do that himself?
It's quite possible. He might have been the only one that would have voted for himself in the number one slot.
He is my friend on Facebook, so maybe.
Well, now you can tell him that he got a first place vote. I'm sure he'll be very happy.
I will.
And then another very surprising person who got a first place vote was somebody who's been on this podcast. I know we are both a fan of him. It's the Dirt Squirrel Man himself, Benry Baby.
Benry?
I'm not sure if that was from one of the girls that listens to this podcast that
maybe.
You know, likes Benry. But you know, I was very happy to see Benry get a first place vote. I like
it. Maybe somebody thought it was the top 20 best looking survivors.
Or the top 20 quotes of all time, maybe.
Wow. Benry. It's Benry, baby.
Absolutely. I was very pleased to see that. I love Benry.
Yeah, wow. First place vote for Benry. Who knew?
And then the other big one I have is a friend of Johnny Fairplay's, and that is Burton Roberts. Got
a first place vote for Burton. Wow.
So, you know, just from a couple of these that I've named now, you can see the types of ballots I got from some people. You know, they weren't necessarily serious, and I just said, you know what, these are not jokes. They're close to jokes, but I'll go ahead and count them anyway. So
I think somebody out there really loves Burton Roberts, because I get a lot of, like, there's somebody that comments all the time and asks questions about Burton Roberts first to ask the survivors. So I think Burton Roberts has a super fan out there.
Well, he was, what,
probably
the first person to ever be voted out twice. I mean, that's, you know, that's awesome. He got to play with Fairplay. I think he'd be maybe a little boring on the podcast, if I can say that. But, you know, he seems like a nice enough guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I see him all the time out here.
Is he a big Survivor fan, though?
I don't know if he's a no, he still watches it to this day. And I know he, yeah, I think he loves Survivor. So I think he would be excited to be on the list.
Yeah, I'm sure he's very happy to get a first place vote.
Yeah. Anybody else with the first place
votes? No, I think those were the three that kind of stuck out most to me.
And did you also have a list of the most surprising players to receive a vote at all?
Yes, and I have quite a few of those. You know, a lot of people went in different directions. You know, I had a lot of first boots like Franny,
yes.
Deb Eaton, John, the pastor guy from Thailand, who I don't even remember. I couldn't pick him out of a crowd of two. And Wendy Jo, the crazy lady from Nicaragua. They all got for some type of vote. Had a lot of quitters get votes, which, again, I was surprised. Purple Kelly got more than one vote in this contest.
Wow.
Austin got a vote, the original quitter from what was it, Pearl Islands, is that the season?
Yes.
A little surprised about that. Flicka.
Yes. Oh, crazy. The Courtney that
yes,
sucks.
Yes, she got some type of vote. But my absolute favorite person that received at least one vote was Wanda, the singing lady.
Who never even made it to a tribal council.
Yes, so somebody who, you know, was out there for like 16 hours got a vote in this contest.
Oh, Wanda is pretty awesome. I think she still goes to a bunch of stuff, Wanda.
Yeah, I mean, you have to respect somebody who is at least, you know, willing to go to those functions and stuff now, even though they were kind of not really on the show.
And no votes for Jonathan, who also got voted out with Wanda?
No, I don't think anybody knows who Jonathan is. He should have sang as he was leaving.
I feel like there's probably eight guys who look exactly like Jonathan who I would not be able to pick them out of a Survivor lineup.
Yeah, I'm sure they show up to those functions and go, hey, I was on Survivor. You know, guys who look like them show up and pretend to be them.
There's some girls like that, too, where it's like there's probably like 10 girls who are like second or third boots who you could put them in a lineup and it would have no – I would not be able to tell you who from who. And Jonathan is in the lineup of the guy version of
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. It's the quality Survivor casting that they do.
Yeah. The good-looking people who only lasted like two or three episodes that you couldn't pick them out of the Survivor casting lineup.
And they were found rollerblading through Venice Beach or something like that.
Exactly.
That's how they got on the show.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and it's like way down on their on the back of their headshot that they were on like Survivor Gabon or whatever.
But hey, they were on. That's good for them. And you know, hey, you don't even have to make it on the show to get a vote here. So, you know, that's
yeah, and they were on the list yeah. now. Okay, so what do you think? I know you have also a list of some of the lower-ranked winners, but I don't know. I feel like if we throw out too many names, we'll sort of cannibalize our top 20.
No,
I trust your judgment on where you want to go.
Yeah, I mean, I picked out the three lowest. They were all fairly close. They weren't in the top 20. I want to say they were in, let me look, I think like the 40 to 50 range, so... You know, kind of getting up there okay. a little closer to the top 20, but not quite there.
Some forgotten winners who aren't really in the mix
sure.
here.
So, you know, the third lowest was Fabio, which, you know, I'm sure he's happy just getting one vote on this list. And, you know, he actually...
So he's not even the worst winner, according to our listeners.
Yes, he was the third worst winner. And even worst winner, I think, is, you know, a strange way to phrase it, but...
Yeah, so where is Fabio? He's at what number?
He's 47th overall.
47, okay.
And actually, these three That's... winners go back to back to back.
Whoa. Yes. So Fabio at 47, I feel like, what do you think, overrated or underrated at 47th best survivor?
I'm going to say about 150 spots overrated, but you know, that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I do love Fabio, but yeah, I can't imagine... he would is that great of a Survivor player. Although that being said, there's some sort of like it's almost like an evolutionary thing where it's like, well, if he was on another season, I don't think he would be targeted at all, and I think he'd be right there at the end again. Thus, does that make him a good Survivor player? Because it's just like sort of like on base percentage in Moneyball terms. In that if the guy never – he gets on base every time and he has 1,000 on base percentage, doesn't that thus make him a better hitter or a more valuable player than somebody who only gets on base 30% of the time?
Yeah, and that's an interesting comparison. You're speaking my language with the Moneyball thing. You know,
I know.
Is it better to have someone who makes the merge every single time – or is it better to have somebody who's a very boom or bust type of player who's either going to go out very early or
a slugger?
The game? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, differing opinions on that, I guess, you know, it depends on how much you like slugging percentage versus on base percentage. But, you know, I think you can certainly make the argument that someone like Fabio, who maybe makes the merge, you know, 80, 85% of the time, is a good player.
Do we need some Survivor stat that's basically like, to get super sports nerdy, do we basically need an OPS of Survivor where that we combine the your on-base percentage, which is basically like, I think Sandra is the ultimate on-base percentage Survivor in that she's going to get to the final four just about every single time because nobody's ever going to vote her out because she's not a threat. Or combined with slugging, which is basically like your Boston Rob or whatever, who's going to swing for the fences every season. Sometimes he's not going to make the merge, but if he does get, you know, get to do his work, he's going to get to the end. And that's basically like slugging percentage of Survivor.
Yeah, I think there's certainly an argument you can make, you know, how much do you weigh each side or do you just add them up together and go with OPS? It's tough. I mean, I tend to respect people who have that boom or bust strategy as opposed to people who just try to make it as far as possible. But mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with, you know, people who have that high on base percentage and make the merge a lot, like a Fabio. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, maybe we can come up with some type of formula at some point and, yeah, just get nerdy to the nth degree here.
Yeah.
But it's definitely an interesting discussion for this list.
Interesting discussion to keep on the back burner. I don't know how interesting that's going to be for like 90% of the audience who may or may not care about baseball statistics, but it's an interesting framework for this conversation.
Sure.
All right, so who are the other two worst winners?
The person right behind Fabio, the second lowest ranked winner, was Vesepia.
Okay, I could see that.
And, you know, I don't have any personal feelings on her necessarily. I can't really figure out what the heck happened in Marquesas. But, you know, I don't think that's a terrible spot for her. I think that seems reasonable.
Seems fair. Maybe she, I think since, I mean, even since then, Vesepia probably always a bit of an underrated player in that she doesn't get a lot of screen time because she doesn't really have any one-liners or anything like that. Not really a entertaining player, but I think somebody who is somewhat savvy, at least.
Yeah, could I say she's maybe like a poor man's Sandra? Is that...
Yeah, I could say that.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable comparison, at least.
Yeah, but without the biting personality.
Right. But, you know, she does strike me as somebody who, you know, if you throw her back on an all-star season, which obviously you wouldn't, but say you did, she's the type that could maybe sneak through and win again because she's not a big target.
Right. Sandra Light, without the fiery personality.
Yes.
Okay. And who is the worst winner? I mean, I guess, should I try to guess it?
Yes, I'd love to hear your guess on this.
The worst winner out of all these people, well, I'll tell you where my head is at. I'm thinking this could be the wife of a certain Survivor winner. Or my other thought is maybe... That's probably or Bob is my other thought. But I'm gonna lean towards Bob.
I think we need a ding on that one, Mr. Podcast Bell.
That's correct.
Amber Mariano coming in dead last out of all the winners, 49th place.
Oh. Okay. I thought you threw me off with telling me to ding. I thought I said Bob.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I meant the first person. Yes, Amber, the lowest. Bob, a little higher up.
I only thought, Amber, putting my own feelings aside of who is the better player of these two people, I think that I just thought that Amber, more people would remember her and put her higher than Bob.
Yeah, that's reasonable. But, I mean, I think, would we both agree that maybe Bob is a better player?
You know what? Can't say I'm not as intimately familiar with Survivor Gabon as I am with Amber's two seasons. So I would say I would think he's better, but hard exactly to say.
That's okay. I don't think anybody's very familiar with Gabon. That's one of those trying to forget it type of seasons.
And I don't think Amber is probably a terrible Survivor player, but to have her, you know, to have all these Survivor greats in one place, and then we say, okay, she's the champion of these people. I mean, she's a perfectly respectable Survivor player, and probably better than a lot of the people that are going to end up... you know, placing in the top 100.
Sure. And I think, you know, it's one of those scenarios where, again, maybe this isn't a fair thing to say, but if she gets one less vote in the final tribal council and Boston Rob wins, does Amber crack the top 100? You know, I don't think so. You know,
probably
maybe,
not.
But you know, I doubt it. So, okay. You know, the fact that she got four votes is enough to get her into 49th place. And, you know, I don't think she can be too upset with that.
I think she's got it. Look, cracking the top 50 after 22 seasons in the books, I think she takes that.
Absolutely.
Okay, so what do you think? You want to jump into this top 20? Enough of this foreplay?
Yeah, and I guess before we do, I can give you a couple of the people that maybe just missed, you know.
Some honorable mentions.
Yes.
Now, what I worry about here is that, like, when we get down to the top 10 or so, I think there's going to be some intrigue of who is not on the list and who is in the list. So I don't want to cannibalize the pool of people if I'm guessing along.
Okay.
So, so I'd rather not get who's 21, who's 22, who's 23, because then I feel like those people will be in play in my head for when we're trying to guess who's up next.
Okay, that's fair. Well, I guess I can tell you a couple that, you know, I already said it was based on gameplay. Nobody who is entertainment value only made the top 20. So I can give you, you know, one name who I believe finished 25th, who was strictly an entertainment person, the highest, I would say, strictly entertainment type person to rank here. And that is the most interesting man who has ever been on television, Coach Ben Wade.
And where is he?
He's 25th overall.
Okay, so at this point, you don't know, maybe a year from now, who knows?
Yes, if he's ever on another season somehow.
If we ever see Coach on Survivor again. But number 25 for Coach, what do you think? Is that Are you buying or selling Coach at 25?
You know, it's tough because if I'm doing this on gameplay, he's nowhere near the top 25. If I'm doing this on entertainment, he is so far and away number one that it's not even fair. So, you know, I don't have a problem with Coach there. I was glad to see him rank that high. You know, early on in this contest, after about 100, 150 ballots, he was in the top 20. And I was thinking, you know, if Coach gets there, that's going to be an interesting name to kick off this list. He dropped off a little late. But, yeah, I like seeing Coach that high. I'm a Coach fan. Absolutely.
Yeah. And is Coach better or worse than his protege, Philip Shepard?
He is better.
Okay. And where's Philip Shepard on your list?
Actually, if you want, I have a little game we can play.
Okay.
Where Philip Shepard will be one of the pieces. You know, I had this game for you and Nicole, and I guess you can play on your own, but, you know, I was calling it the more or less than Matthew von Ertfeld game. And so I'll give you, you know, say three names here, and you can tell me if somebody, you thought somebody ranked higher or lower than Matthew. And, you know, okay. To give you a guideline of where he finished, Matthew actually finished 62nd overall. So
okay.
That's pretty respectable for a guy.
Yeah, if I'm Matthew von Ertfeld, I take that. I'm signing on the dotted line for 62.
Absolutely. So, yeah. You know, do you think Philip finished higher or lower than 62nd in this contest?
I would have to say I think he would, just because he's so recent and he's so fresh in people's memories. I would think that he's got to come up in people. Like, I think there's got to be at least a few people out of the 528 ballots you receive where people are saying after the top five or so, just filling out a list, like trying to come up with people to remember. So I would think that I would say Philip Shepard more so in people's minds than Matthew von Ertfeld.
And you are correct. Philip Shepard actually with a very respectable finish in 43rd place.
Wow, the specialist.
Absolutely excited to see him there. I think, you know, great character. A lot of people voted him up there because he is a character. But, you know, he certainly deserves some respect. I mean, it's great that he finished higher than, you know, three or four winners. You know, I think that's quite awesome.
Wow.
So another name, somebody who finished very close to Matthew, a friend of this podcast, Ice Cream Scooper Eric.
Ice cream
higher or lower
Eric.
Than Matthew von Ertfeld?
Ice cream scooper Eric. He is universally renowned for making the dumbest Survivor move of all time. Although second to JT's dumb move, which I think that was just circumstantial. I think if they revote today, Ice Cream Scooper Eric is awarded the dumbest Survivor again.
Yeah, that was the recency bias for sure.
Yeah, so I think I will say Ice Cream Scooper Eric lower than Philip Shep or Matthew von Ertfelder.
Ice Cream Scooper Eric is actually higher than Matthew.
Ooh.
Ice Cream Scooper Eric getting a lot of respect in this contest and finishing in 58th place.
He is beloved, I think, Ice Cream Scooper
Eric. I think
Eric.
You have to love him. He's like a little brother.
Yeah.
And then the third and final name I've got for you is another person who's been in the news recently. Sugar Kuiper.
Ooh.
Celebrity rehab and all. Is she higher or lower than Matthew von Ertfeld?
I would say I'm going to put Sugar. I'll put her higher than Matthew von Ertfeld. I mean, she's a two-time survivor. She was on the Heroes versus Villains. I know she got voted out first, but I'm going to put her higher than Matthew von Ertfeld.
In a surprise, she's actually lower.
Oh,
and I would have guessed higher as well. I thought she'd get a lot of votes from the girls in this contest, especially, but she was actually two spots behind Matthew in 64th place. So, and I think that's a pretty good finish for her as well.
64 for Sugar?
Yes.
Yeah. Very interesting.
And she's going to go celebrate with a brewski or.
Hey, come on. She is recovering. Where's she on the celebrity rehab list?
Oh, she's got to be number one, right? I think at least until, I don't know, who else?
Well, I wasn't talking only in terms of Survivor. I mean, all time, if you were ranking the all time celebrity rehab casts.
I'm not a celebrity rehab watcher, but I would think the fact that she's not even a celebrity has to lower her a little bit.
Probably, yeah.
Is she, you know, bottom 25%?
Probably not super high on the list, but there hasn't been that many people. It's only Celebrity Rehab 5, I think, and there's only like 6 or 7 people. So she's probably in the top 30.
Well, that's better than she did here, so maybe she should stick to the rehab list instead.
Okay. I mean, I can't believe we're about 40 minutes into this, and we haven't even gotten to the list.
Yeah, well, let's get to it then. Let's get to it.
Although I feel like I could do another hour or so just before we even get to the list.
Yeah, in fact, I'll go ahead and post the list at some point, and you know, there'll be some interesting stuff for people to talk about.
But other people are saying, all right, Rob, I didn't buy the 64 gig iPhone. Let's move along with this.
Yes. Okay. Well, let's get into the top 20 then. So, you know, it was a very interesting race in that 18 people were so far ahead of the pack that they were locked in from very early on. And there was a heavy competition for the 19 and 20 spots. And so I won't tell you who finished, you know, 22nd, 21st. We'll see that later. But
yeah, so this is a little bit almost like I know we keep talking about sports and stats and stuff like that, but I think in some ways it makes sense here. So this is almost like on my fantasy football draft board,
yes,
where there's a big drop off between my tier 3 players at a position and like my 4th tier at a position.
Yes, and it was a very big tier jump. It wasn't even close. After 100 ballots, I knew who the top 18 were going to be.
Okay,
so coming in at number 20, the 20th greatest player of all time, according to the Rob Has a Podcast listeners, Ozzie Loose.
Ooh, okay. And maybe a year from now, this ranking is different. Now, what was the percentage or the points difference between 20 and 21?
Let me look here real quick. I want to say it was about, well, I can tell you, Ozzie got just under 1,500 points. And the person who came in 21st had about 1,300. So a little bit of a gap. I mean, not huge, but I mean, that's, you know, that's a decent chunk. It was not in question late in the game.
Okay. So Ozzie. Okay. So we have two times on the show for Ozzie as of July 26, 2011.
Well, as of and television broadcasts, not actual time. Yeah.
Through 22 seasons of Survivor. Yes. And so, you know, Ozzie, you know, had a shot to win this thing. What does he lose to Yule on Cook Islands? Is that a 5-4 vote?
Yeah, 5-4.
5-4 vote. You know, he is one of the top top three, just off the top of my head, in challenge, as a challenge competitor.
And certainly number one in swimming competitions. Like, not even close.
Probably the best Survivor swimmer of all time, and I have no problem with Ozzie being in the top 20. The question for me in Ozzie's game is the social aspect there.
I'm right with you on that.
If we're getting the Venn diagram out, we know he is physical. We know he is strategic to a point. And but the question is, does he have the social game? He's making out with Amanda Kimmel. He's bossing people around. I don't know. And if we ever see Ozzie on the show again, it's going to be interesting to see, has he matured? Has he changed? Does he have that to his game? Because I would have said going into Heroes versus Villains that Boston Rob didn't have that part of the game down. And it seemed between Survivor All-Stars and Survivor Heroes versus Villains, Boston Rob sort of developed that part of the game more and became a winner eventually. It'd be interesting to see if Ozzie can make that same jump.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, that kind of brings up another interesting point about the timing of, you know, when this list was made and that sort of thing, and the timing of even going out there, because if he is on another season, which we're just speculating, of course.
Potentially. Who knows?
You know, I think it maybe hurts him that he would be on after Boston Rob won as a returning player. So, you know, if he goes out on season 22 and is playing against Russell, you know, does that help him versus having to play after a former player has already won in that same sort of contest?
Yes. Hypothetically, I'm just saying that if I was going to be a big challenge competing survivor and go on Survivor a season after another famous challenge-winning survivor had won the game, I would think that that person would be much more of a target than, say, somebody who was, you know, known for irritating people and whatnot. If you follow, if you catch what I'm saying here.
Yes, absolutely. It's maybe even somebody
not exactly
who cracked
the
top
Da Vinci
25
code
of this list, you know.
Yeah. But so we'll have to see if that would help or hurt their rankings in a future list.
Yes, and I think he is definitely hurt by that, but we'll see by how much if he ever comes back.
Well, Kaz, buy or sell Ozzy at number 20?
I am selling Ozzy at 20. I am
really so you would not have Ozzy in your own top 20?
No, I'm more of the fan of the social strategic players. Ozzy's more, I would say, of a challenge type player. Like you said, I think he maybe gets on people's nerves from time to time. I don't think he's one of the 20 best players ever. I think he's an interesting player to watch, great in challenges, but I would not have him in my top 20, and I did not.
Can I ask you one more question overall about the top 20?
Sure.
Can I get an over-under of winners in the top 20?
I can do a...
Let me see. Let me give you...
Fill some time for about 10 seconds.
Yeah, let me think. So I'm trying to think how many winners are going to be in the top 20. I'm thinking, just off the top of my head, I'm thinking Boston Rob is there. I'm thinking Parfitty's there. I'm thinking Sandra is there. I'm thinking Richard Hatch is there. I'm sure there's going to be a few more that are going to be surefire in the top 20. I don't think it's going to be 10 winners in the top 20. I guess my guess on for over under of winners in the top 20, I'd say 7. Maybe just give me an over. Or under.
Yeah, it's an over for sure.
Okay, all right. This is very.
Do you want me to give you the actual number?
No, don't give me the actual number.
Yeah, so it's over 7 for sure.
Over 7 winners in the top 20. Ooh, very interesting. Okay, so let's move on from Ozzy. Yeah. So we got Ozzy at 20,
and go ahead.
I'd like a point total also.
Okay.
So Ozzy was how many points for Ozzy?
Ozzy finished at 1,493 points, which, wow, to put that into perspective, if you got a first place vote on each of these ballots, it'd be 10,560 points. And the person who finished in first, who I won't name, obviously, finished with about 8,100.
8,100.
Yeah,
so let's see. If we took 1493 and divided that by 520, now does 528 count joke ballots that were
no,
removed?
It does not.
Okay, so 1493 divided by 528. So an average place of 2.8, or I guess would that make them? See, this is good. This
yeah, the
is
average won't work especially well because some people are very bunched together, so you're going to get a lot of people with, you know, if you average it out, some people are going to have twos and threes and stuff.
Okay.
But, you know, I'll try to give the point totals to kind of put that into perspective how close some of these races were.
Awesome. All right. Who's you got at 19?
Well, we were talking about winners, and number 19 is a winner.
Can I ask one other question? What is the breakdown of men and women on the top 20?
It is 16 males. And
whoa. Wow. You misogynist bunch of listeners.
Yes.
How dare you?
But I don't think they're wrong. I mean, if you're thinking of memorable women on this show, there's about 4 of them, I would say. So.
Well, it is tough in the Survivor casting in that we cast a lot of babes to be on Survivor. And we do a lot of casting of, let's get who looks good in a bikini. But often I would think that the best women strategists on planet Earth don't always look good in a bathing suit. And we get a lot of, sort of dopey, attractive women on the show in general. Now, I'm not saying that every woman who's attractive on Survivor is dopey, and certainly every woman who's dopey is not attractive. So, but we do get a fair amount of, there's a few more Purple Kellys in the mix than, the several Purple Kellys that come along for every Parvati or Jenna Maraska that we
get. Now, are you saying Purple Kelly is not a good player? Because she got multiple votes in this contest.
I guess so. Now, she might be in the top 20 for all I know.
Well,
but if she's in the top 20, I'm going to quit this podcast.
She is not, but I will say if we ever do a bikini top 20, she is absolutely in mine. So, Purple Kelly, if you're listening to this, you know, well, if Andrea doesn't want me, then you can call me.
There you go. How about Nayanka? Do we have Nayanka on your – did Nayanka receive any votes?
She did. In fact, let me quickly look up. She finished in 102nd place.
Wow.
She got 34 points, which is actually pretty good. And that was stunning, to say the least. But I think maybe some
people are putting
entertainment value there.
Well, so if you have over 200 people that receive votes, she did better than half the people that received votes.
Yes, you'd be amazed how many people got, you know, under 10 points.
Wow. It's amazing. Yeah. Good for you, Nayanka.
Yeah, I'm sure she's listening.
Okay. All right. So number 19.
Yes. So back to a winner, our first winner in the top 20. I would say maybe one of the nicest people to ever play Survivor, Ethan Zahn.
Oh, well, that good for Ethan Zahn to be in the top 20.
And go ahead.
Oh, I love Ethan Zahn.
Yeah, Ethan, great guy. And, you know, I was glad to see him make the list. I mean, he didn't make my top 20, but I do like him enough to have him sort of in that range. And I think, you know, he wasn't even in the top 30 after the first 100 or 200 ballots, but he really came on strong at the end and snuck in there. And he actually finished with 1,685 points. So quite a big gap between him and Ozzy.
I think Ethan might even be a little underrated. Like, he doesn't wow you with the big move, but he almost has, like, the on-base percentage or the durability of a Sandra, where that you're not necessarily threatened by him. Even on Survivor All-Stars, he was the last winner to stay in the game, but a game really without any flaws, where you say that, you know, it's hard to pinpoint anything he does wrong or badly. He is a good social game, makes friends with everybody. I think that's a really solid choice there for 19.
Yeah, and I think he's one of those guys that, you know, maybe he's not overly strategic, but he's such a nice, likable guy that people aren't going to vote him out, especially in his first season when he's out there with other randoms. You know, they're going to take him to the merge every time, and, you know, he's just so darn likable that he's going to get to, you know, the final three, final four quite often.
Yeah, and we say not overly strategic, but overly strategic is not always a bad
right.
thing, because overly strategic gets you in trouble sometimes.
Yes.
And I think that Ethan certainly is a strategic player, but he's just not going to, you know, he's not really a down and right, you know, backstabber where he's going to pull like a major move. So maybe the slugging percentage is not as high as some of these other guys who are going to come in and dominate a game. But he's a much more of a subtle, under the radar sort of player, and a very good Survivor and a great winner.
Yeah, and dare I say, he's, you know, certainly maybe one of the most high on base percentage type players ever. I think he's a guy that's going to make the merge almost every time.
Yeah. So that's a good spot. How much more than Ozzy? What's the point jump between Ethan and Ozzy?
It was about 200 points.
Ooh, so that's a nice little jump there.
Yeah. So then for the next few spots, like I said, we had a lock top 18. So there was quite a big gap, about 450 points between 19 and 18.
Okay, so twice as big of a gap between 18 and 19 than 19 and 20.
Yes. And the interesting thing with these next few is that with 100 ballots left to count, numbers 16 through 18 were within 9 points of each other. So that's how close these next few people were bunched together. And
let me ask – can I ask one more gating question before we go any further?
Sure.
How many people on the list are one-time only players?
You might have to fill time here for a second again, but I will count that.
Is there – if I had to guess – how many one-timers? Now, I don't think there's anybody from the most recent two seasons. I think they're going to – maybe maybe a, you know, I could see either a Brenda or a Marty maybe sneaking into the top 20, but I'm not too sold on that. And I don't think anybody outside of Boston Rob from this last past season is going to make the top 20. So I think the number is actually going to be very low. I'll be surprised if it's more than. I'll say the over under is 2.5 for one timers on the show, and I'll take the I'll go under 2.5. So I think there's only one or two one timers on the show.
It is actually over two and a half.
Ooh. So much intrigue.
Yeah, and I won't tell you how many over, but it's okay. Definitely over 2.5.
All right, let's fire away. Give me 18.
Number 18 is another winner and another one-timer. I guess the first one-timer of the list. Earl Cole.
Oh. All right, so Earl Cole. And basically... Everything we just said about Ethan, it probably very much applies to Earl.
Yes.
In that, you know, he's definitely one, you know, a high percentage player in that he's going to do well every single time he's on the show, but not somebody who's going to be making, you know, big waves in the game and voting people out. I was very impressed with Earl. I did not watch Survivor Fiji when it was originally on. I actually watched it about 2 years ago. But I came away from Fiji very impressed with Earl.
Okay, well, I'll be the play the devil's advocate here. The one bad thing I think you can say about Earl, and the reason I kind of left him just outside of the fringe of my top 20, mm-hmm. when they got down to four people... and the whole Dreams necklace thing came about. The one thing I was disappointed about with Earl was that he did not try to talk Dreams into giving it away, and he actually tried to talk him into keeping his promise, which would have ultimately left Earl in second place behind Yao Man. So, you know, the one thing that I think you can say about Earl that you can't about Ethan is that Earl maybe didn't do everything he could have to win. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that maybe Earl is also hurt by the fact that he was up against the two most beatable opponents in the history of the final three. And yeah, and he did catch a break there that Dreams totally screwed over Yao Man. Maybe Earl does not win the game if Dreams does not screw over Yao Man. How about Dreams? Is Dreams on your list?
Yes, Dreams actually got more than one vote. He
higher or lower than his former romantic acquaintance, Nayanka?
Just barely higher.
Higher than Nayanka?
Dreams finishing in 96th place.
Dreams made the top 100?
I know, it's bizarre, but again, it only takes one or two people voting for him. He got 39 points, so it's like if somebody puts him in their top five, you know, he's already jumping ahead of about 100 people.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know how I feel about that, but, you know, way to go, Dreams.
There you go. So I guess Earl slightly hurt by that. So I think Earl also slightly hurt by the fact that nobody likes Survivor Fiji.
Yeah, it's one of the worst ever for sure.
People don't like it. I think that also like there's certain people seasons, they help elevate them, and other people's seasons kind of bury them. Like there's probably certain people that if they were on a different season that was a more liked season, they probably would have done better on this list. But I think Earl is somebody who is hurt by Fiji.
Right.
And the suckiness of Fiji in general.
Okay, well, are you ready to move on to number 17?
I am. I don't have much more to say about Earl at 18. I feel like that's a good spot for Earl. You're selling Earl at 18.
I sell, but just barely. I think if he pushes for Dreams to give that up so he has a guaranteed win, I have him in my top 20, no doubt.
Okay.
So coming in now at number 17, a mere 30 points ahead of Earl Cole. And this is one I'm going to have a little bit to say about. But it's the first female on the top 20, Amanda
Ooh.
Kimmel.
Oh, Amanda Kimmel in the top 20. So a three-timer. So she comes in ahead of her former romantic encounter partner. I think I just made up a term. Ozzy. So that's very, very interesting, Amanda. I don't know how good of a, like, Amanda, I feel like, should have she went to the well one too many times with the survivor,
yes,
I think.
Absolutely.
I think if she walks away after fans versus favorites, I think maybe a top 10 appearance for Amanda, perhaps?
It's possible. She'd be on the fringe, I think, yeah.
So I don't know if she realized what she was doing by coming back for another shot. She hurt herself, you know, in a future top 20 Rob Has a Podcast listener poll.
Well, she strikes me as somebody who might not care as much about her legacy as others. But
it also strikes me as somebody who might not know what a podcast or a Rob Cesternino is.
That is very true. And, you know, if I could get on my soapbox about Amanda, and you can cut me off if I get too awful here, but I hate Amanda. I think she's a terrible player. She's piggybacked, you know, three or four of the greatest strategists of all time. And when she got to the end, you know, with both Todd and Parvati and Sarit together, both times in the final five, she had an opportunity to stab them in the back. That one move would have won her the game, and she didn't take it. She didn't even really consider taking it. So I hate Amanda. I think she's awful. I wouldn't have her in my top 50. I just think she piggybacks good players, and you know she's been lucky to get to the end a couple times. And then she's a complete disaster when she gets to the finals.
Is there a male equivalent that we can come up with for Amanda where she is she's dominant in the challenges. She is a great athlete, but just has really no sort of an end game. She's social and she's strong, but she's not really strategic. Is that fair?
I'd say that's very fair.
Is there anybody that we can hold her up against that we say that this is the male equivalent of Amanda?
You know, maybe Rupert? Is that somebody who's – I don't know. Rupert's not really strong socially either, but I'm trying to think of somebody who's going to make the merge a lot with that high on-base percentage but doesn't really do anything to get to the end and probably couldn't win even if they got there. Big Tom? I don't know. It's – there are a couple,
That's interesting.
Yeah, I think Big Tom. Somebody like that who is going to make the merge a lot but doesn't really do anything. They just stick with their alliance and basically hope everything works out in the end.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe
I get this.
Do you have a
name? Well, I get the sense, though. No, not. But I was going to say, in terms of Big Tom, I think Big Tom, though, wins if he ever gets to the end in either season.
Okay.
He's very well-liked. So I don't know if somebody that wouldn't necessarily win in the end. The only person that I could kind of think of, and it's not really a good one, is what about James?
Yeah, that's a good one, actually. That might be the best one.
Although he doesn't get as far. He never gets as far in the game as Amanda.
But I think he's the same. I mean, I think the only reason he doesn't is because he's massive. You know, and he didn't look like such a more of a physical competitor than he actually is. He would be right there with Amanda. Mm-hmm. So I think that's actually the best comparison.
If James were to go on Survivor again, should James consider like letting himself go a bit? Like maybe don't hit the gym for a little bit, or maybe put on like 30 pounds and just like a beer gut?
Yes, and I think he needs to play the game inside a bubble so he doesn't get hurt for a third time. I mean, how many people have been removed for injury? It's got to be like 5 or 6, right? And he's done it twice? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yes. Very very injury prone, yes. As far as James goes. I would think safe to say James is not in the top 20.
That's very safe to say.
Where you got a spot for James?
Yeah, let me find James. He finished in 46th place.
Oh, right above the three worst winners,
yes,
of all time. Okay. that's good. Well, I mean, while we're talking about Survivor China, you have a place for me for one of my favorites, Lunch Lady Denise.
Do you want me to look her up?
if you have it quickly.
She finished in 167th place. She got 7 points. Way okay. to go, Denise.
What does 7 points equate to? That's somebody had her like
14th
as
a place vote or 720th. Now, I think she was only on one ballot. I'd have to look, but I'm pretty sure she was only on one person.
Good for Lunch Lady Denise.
Yeah. I don't know. Are you buying or selling her with 7 points?
I think that's a good. I'm buying.
Okay.
I think she'd be a good person to bring to the end, and then you could beat her.
Yeah, I mean, everybody.
Although, actually, you know, I think I have it backwards, because I think on her season they were worried that she was gonna I think they were worried that she was gonna win if she got to the end.
Yeah, I think they were worried about that, but I think Todd is kind
of because she's such a sad sack case of like. Yeah,
the whole
I need this for my family story. And whatnot.
But yeah, I think Todd has confirmed that she would not have won, and it was she's one of those people that everybody thinks would win, like Lil, but doesn't ultimately win when they get there.
Or one of those people, like every single survivor, that says they would have won if they got to the end.
Yes, like every guest you have on your podcast,
like every person that's ever been on reality TV. Yes. So, Amanda Kimmel, so you're selling her at 17.
Yes, it's not even close.
I mean, I'd have to see the rest of the list. I don't think I have a problem with Amanda at 17.
I think I'm one of the few people who feels that strongly about Amanda. But I just think if you stick her out there 100 times, she makes the merge about 98 of them, and she wins zero of them.
I mean, I think if I'm building a Survivor roster, I think maybe I'm taking Earl or Ethan before Amanda. Like, I think maybe I would look at it like if I had to bet on a Survivor season, like if I'm at the Survivor OTB and they're telling me, okay, rank where you would put your money, I think I'd probably put my money higher on Earl or Ethan than Amanda winning a game.
Yes, and I would agree with you on that.
Ooh, I like Survivor OTB.
Well, we might have some more opportunities to get your OTB list here then.
Okay. Ooh. Okay. Well, I'm thinking we have at least 16 more.
Yes. So,
all right. Who do you got? Number 16.
So this between 15 and 16 was the closest race, and to tell you how close it was, this is no joke. I did not do this on purpose, but we got 528 ballots. For whatever reason, I had finished mine a long time ago, but I just hadn't entered it into my little spreadsheet. So mine was the 528th ballot. After 527. The next two people were tied.
Whoa.
So I don't know
this
what
this is
the
like Bush Gore.
Are. It's astronomical, I'm sure.
Yeah. Was there a recount at any point?
Sort of. I didn't want to recount 528 ballots, but I tried to do as much checking as possible.
If any of the survivors on this list are unhappy with the results, can they demand a recount, like a hanging chads and whatnot?
Tell you what, I will. If any survivor wants to email me, I will email them the entire list, every vote I got. But I don't think I'm going to count 528 ballots again. But if you want to do it on your own time and try to get yourself bumped up a couple spots, let me know.
I'm trying to think of who is the most likely survivor to do that. I've got a couple picks, but I'll say after the
There's
show.
Definitely more than a few names who I think would be contenders for that. But anyway, so coming in number 16, which is the person I ultimately had slightly lower on my ballots, but both of these guys were in my top 20, and they are both guys who have been on this podcast before.
Ooh.
But coming in at number 16, a mere 7 spots behind Yao Man Chan.
Wow. So Yao Man, so 7 points behind.
7 points behind, yes.
Yeah. So Yao Man, I like Yao Man. I think that's a good spot. I wonder if he's another guy who in the quit while they're ahead survivors and probably I think I have to add myself to that club of the people who if they were only on one season or only on two seasons in Amanda's case, would they have been higher on the list?
Yeah, and I don't even think it's fair to say it like that. I think maybe you say it as if their appearances were more spread apart.
Yeah.
You know, not like Yao Man was on, 14, and then he was right back out there a year later on 16. So,
no.
You know, I think if
right.
you put a bigger gap in between, he maybe does a little better that second time around. I think the same could be said about you.
Mm-hmm. Although in the case of Yao Man, was the reason why they got rid of him on Fans versus Favorites that he was just such a threat? Were they concerned about him? Because it seemed like in that case, there was the Couples Alliance,
yes.
Very similar to Big Brother this season. Of you had the James and Parvati and Amanda and Ozzy, they were the Brendan and Rachel and Jeff and Jordan. Then Suri is a little bit like the Danielle Donato.
Yeah, she's kind of the swing in between those two. Yeah.
And then there was the Penner, Amy, and Eliza, and Penner, Amy, Eliza, and Yao Man. Right.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know if they targeted Yao Man because they felt like he was the biggest threat to win. I feel like they sort of targeted him because he wasn't as good in the challenges. Is that fair to say?
I think so. I mean, I know Cerie said she had targeted him, and it ultimately ended up being her decision. But I do think they picked him in part because he was, you know, an older man who's maybe not the best in challenges. But, yeah. I mean, he did kind of hold his own, actually, in Fiji in those challenges. So, you know, I don't think he's a terrible physical competitor. Certainly could be much worse at his age and at his size.
Yeah. So I'm just saying with Yao Man, I think it's a little bit more of a hole in his game exposed pre-merge than necessarily that he was, we got to get rid of him. He's the biggest strategic threat here.
Right. That's fair.
Interesting for Yao Man, but I feel like a very strong player, excellent strategist, and he doesn't suck in the challenges.
Does he have the capability to win very often, do you think?
Interesting. I think that he is like, there are, you know, certain players who, I'd put Cerie also is similar,
yes,
to this in that once they get past the merge, then nobody's ever coming for them. And I guess I put myself in that same sort of category, even though I don't think I'm I would be a disaster in challenges. I think I could, you know, hold my own more than at least a replacement player level.
Yes.
of just being just an average guy. I mean, I'm not going to blow you away or anything in the challenges, but I think in my head, it's always like, am I doing more than if there was just another girl on the team? Maybe that's a little bit of a misogynistic way to think about it, but I'm holding my own.
Yeah, that's. I mean, you don't need to be the strongest. You need to just not be the weakest.
Not the weakest. Yeah. So that being said, with Yao Man, Cerie, like some of these people that are sort of liabilities early on in the game, that's a problem because it just gives people a reason to get rid of you pre-merge. But if they last through the merge, then they're deadly.
Right.
So. I don't know how to classify that. It doesn't really weigh into our percentages. Sandra also, she's a potential liability pre-merge. And then after the merge, nobody's ever coming to look for her.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of those players that you could point to who, once they make the merge, they're fine until the final five or so. And I wonder if he's, once he gets inside that final five, is he too big of a target? I don't think he would be on every season. But it's hard to say.
Yeah. And in the case of Yao Man, it's like if he can make it to the merge, he's super dangerous. And then if he makes it through the top five, he's probably going to win the game.
Right.
So it's almost like a pyramid of like checkpoints. If you let him get to the merge, he's going to be in the top five. And if you let him get past the top five, he's going to win. So he becomes increasingly more dangerous after every vote. So that's like, in some ways, that's actually really good strategy to get rid of Yao Man first.
Yes.
Because the longer you keep him around, the harder he is to beat. Interesting for Yao Man. So I like Yao Man.
Is that a fair spot for him, you think?
I think so. I mean, I don't know the rest of the list, but I think he would be a good pick. But you just gotta, if you get him through the, 15 days, 16 days, you're feeling pretty good about your Yao Man pick.
Sure. Yeah. Well, then I can tell you that the person who came in 15th, if we want to transition over there, like I said, my ballot broke the tie. And the guy who was at 15 is one of my favorites and one of your favorites, Stephen Fishback.
Okay. So another one-timer. So he's in a one-timer number two on the list. So Steven at 15. Let me think about this. Now, I don't know the rest of the list, but Steven is going back to the Venn diagram, I kind of feel like Steven is somebody who fits. I know he lost to JT in the lopsided vote and all of that stuff. So maybe he's not the best maybe not the best jury person, but at the same time, I think really fighting an uphill battle against a folksy guy like JT in the finals.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you replace JT in that season to begin with maybe somebody who's exactly like him but not as charismatic, and you know, you don't have like multimillionaires out there helping him win the game, I think Steven does a lot better and probably even wins that season. So I think, you know, I wouldn't even say it's fair to say he's not a great person to have on the jury as far as pleading his case. I think he maybe just got stuck in a season where JT was going to win no matter what.
Yeah. So, you know, going back to our Venn diagram, Steven is social, very, very good at making friends with everybody. He's certainly strategic. And I think that he gets overlooked as being strong. He's not a small guy, Steven.
Yeah, as long as you aren't judging him on how he runs, I think he's a very very decent physical player. And he's kind of, much like yourself, he's just on the edge where he's not strong, but he's not weak. And that's really, yeah, that's maybe the best mix you can have.
Very good. And maybe the only flaw that we could say is maybe he is loyal to a fault, in that maybe too loyal to just like what you were saying with Earl, that he should have pushed Dreams to get rid of Yao Man. Maybe Steven could have tried to harder to get rid of JT, but I think that also there's some immunities that,
yes,
like it was almost like him. I think that maybe Steven might have I'd have to ask him if he would have screwed JT over had JT not won all the immunities.
Yeah, I think he said that him and Aaron had a pact in the final three, and I know they were trying to do it before that as well. So I think, you know, if JT doesn't win one of those immunities, he does go at some point late in the game.
Yeah, this does sound familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah. And good to keep your bases covered in case the guy who wins all the immunities keeps winning all the immunities. Yeah. You're like, we were going to the end no matter what. Hard to Monday morning quarterback that one, because you don't know how it would have gone differently. But yeah, I think that's pretty good for Steven. But I have to hear the rest of the list to hear if I'm going to swap, if I want to swap anybody.
Okay, that's good. Well,
do I have a veto power at the end that I get to switch the list around however I want it?
Yeah, I mean, this is your list, so
no, that's that 500. Do I need 528 people sending me emails all day long now?
Yeah, probably
coming
not. But you know,
Frank Clark texting me all day.
But I think if you, you know, maybe want to move some people up or down, I mean, not officially, but I think you probably have some opinion on this as we get into the deeper part of the rankings.
Okay. Well, let's keep going.
Okay, so number 14 is a former winner and is actually, ooh, somebody we were just discussing, JT Thomas.
JT.
Coming in
interesting.
Just ahead of Steven.
Oh, they're always neck and neck. JT and Steven always is the bridesmaid, never the bride with JT.
Yes. And he finished about 200 points ahead of Steven. So, I mean, a reasonable gap. It wasn't that close, but, not that far either.
JT also maybe wants to join the Quit While You're Ahead club.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we do this list after, you know, season 19.
18, yeah.
Before he gives away an immunity idol, is he in the top five? Is that a reasonable guess?
I think so. I mean, it's fair to say. I wonder if how much JT was like aware of the perception that, you know, maybe Steven is the brains behind the operation, and that he's like, well, I'm going to show everybody how I can make big moves in this game. Because it seems like he comes out of the gate and is a totally different player than he is in Survivor Token Chains.
Right.
Because he's like, okay, I'm going to screw over. I'm going to say I'm with these, with, this group, but then I'm going to defect and go with Tom and Colby, and I'm going to send Russell the immunity idol. Just seems very uncharacteristic for how we played only two seasons earlier.
Yeah, and I think he's a tough one to judge because Token Chains people were so far over the top in love with him, and he kind of got away with murder, and then you stick him on Heroes versus Villains, and he tries to. He was kind of hoping, I guess, that people would have that same feeling about him, and they didn't care. And it was like, you screw us over, we're going to vote you out. So, you know, I'd like to see him in another season, maybe like 5 or 6 years down the road, kind of just to see how he would adjust his game again. Because I kind of have a tough time reading how good of a player he is.
Hard to say.
Yeah.
I am not the biggest JT fan in the world. But I mean, I guess I don't have a problem with him at 14 on the list.
Okay.
I mean, it's 14. He's not in the top 10. It feels like a good landing spot for JT.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah. Although, allegedly the dumbest Survivor player ever.
Yeah. Well, I don't think either of us are buying that, right?
Yeah. It's Ice Cream Scooper Eric.
That's fair. Yeah.
In fairness, it's dumbest move. Dumbest.
Yeah. It's not dumbest player. There are not no dumb players.
Yes. Okay, so who do you got at unlucky number 13?
All right, coming in at number 13.
Or it's lucky for this person.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'd be happy with this spot. At number 13, finishing about 250 points ahead of JT, a one-timer and a winner, Chris Daughtry.
Oh, see, I get a lot of people I know. Mario Lanza was pushing, you got to talk to Chris Daughtry. He's that people love Chris Daughtry. I never really got that. I mean, I have, and again, I have not watched Survivor Vanuatu since it was on, but I don't recall at the time coming away from Survivor Vanuatu as, oh my God, Chris Daughtry, this guy is the bee's knees. But according to Mario Lanza, people love Chris Daughtry and he's a great winner. And he says, we need to get a hold of him.
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm a Chris fan. I had him at number 10 on my list, actually. I think he's actually a very good player. He's a fan of the game, which I think always helps, or most of the time helps. You know, he's not like a physical threat, but again, he's not weak. And I think he was fairly strategic. I mean, when they got down to 7 people, he got in to flip there. And then when they got down to 5, he positioned himself as the swing vote again. So, you know, I think the strategy is there. I'd like to see him play again just to make sure that I'm not completely overrating somebody who did the right thing by accident. But I do think he's mm-hmm. a very good player.
Yeah, I think that's a little high on my list. But again, I don't have not watched Vanuatu since then. And I do get the sense that a lot of people like him. And I know that when Mario was pushing me to get him on the show, a lot of people were saying, yeah, you got to do it. You got to do it. Problem is, he doesn't have a computer, and I don't think he has a cell phone. I think he just has a house phone, and we gotta call the house and set that up. And it just the motivation wasn't there on my part because I get kind of lazy sometimes.
Yeah, that's bizarre. I didn't realize he was that sort of old school about not having any new technology or whatever. But
yeah. But it's definitely a possibility for the future to talk to Chris Daughtry. And but I don't even know what to ask him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's one of those that you absolutely have to have, even if people are clamoring for it. I'm not convinced he'd be the greatest interview ever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think he's one of those people who's kind of maybe a more – not that he's boring, but just – I'm not sure there's a lot to discuss with him as far as, you know, interesting stories he might have, that sort of thing. But I do think he's a good player.
For me, much like with Earl, I think he's hurt a little bit by the fact he was in a final three with Twyla and Scout.
Yes.
Certainly, probably the least photogenic final three we've ever had on Survivor.
Without question.
So it's almost like once you get to the final three with Twyla and Scout, it seems like they got the game wrapped up at that point.
Yeah.
So I don't award any points to, winning in that scenario, but he did do a good job to get from being the last guy down to that point.
Right.
So a little high for my taste, Chris Daughtry at 13, but I don't have a big problem with it.
Okay. Well,
I think it's a little bit of a reach to go back to fantasy football.
Okay, that's fine. You know, he's one of those people either seem to love him or just not have a lot of respect for him. So he's kind of a tough one to judge. And I was actually surprised. I thought he'd finish maybe outside the top 20. Mm-hmm. So I was surprised at how much respect he got.
Yeah. I think with my 13th pick in the Survivor draft, I'm not sure if I'm going Chris Daughtry.
Okay. Well, we want to move on to number 12.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think this is somebody you would take. I don't know. We'll see. But, coming in about 160 points ahead of Chris Daughtry at number 12 is Johnny Fairplay.
Whoa. Oh, Johnny Fairplay.
Now, I'm guessing you'll have a lot to say about Johnny Fairplay here.
Yeah, well, I think Johnny Fairplay gets overlooked a little bit because a lot of his antics as being a good Survivor player, and of course there was the fans versus favorites debacle, which we all know that's that story. And he would tell you that, you know, he had just been power bombed by Danny Bonaducci about 2 weeks before that, and he wasn't 100% right in the head at that point. So I'm not going to hold that against him in these rankings, but Johnny Fairplay. You know, it's hard to say if, you know, how he would do necessarily with a jury every season, but the guy is good. I mean, he's not a physical threat in the challenges, but he's a tough SOB. And he is, certainly people underestimate his social game. They think that everybody hates him, but, outside of Sandra, like, if you were to poll the people from Pearl Islands, I think they all pretty much like him, if not love him. Yeah. And other than Rupert, who I think is sort of I think Rupert in real life actually likes Johnny Fairplay, but plays it up for the cameras. And so I think Johnny Fairplay is a little underrated. I mean, I think that's an okay spot for him on the list, but I think a little underrated in terms of his actual gameplay.
Yeah, I think this is actually a perfect spot for him. You know, I do think he's a very strong player in terms of strategy and getting to the end and that sort of thing. And I think, you know, people kind of just remember him as the guy who gave the dead grandma a lie, or the guy who's now kind of an ass in public sometimes. But, you know, he was very well liked. And I do think, regardless of what people said at that reunion, he would have beat Lil had she taken him.
Yeah.
I think
the antics sort of, you know, in our memories sort of outweigh the actual gameplay.
Yes.
But just from a pure gamesmanship point of view, he's another guy, you know, put in that category with Suri and Yao Man, where once they make the merge, it's like, forget about it. You're never voting. Those guys are never getting voted off anywhere between like the merge and the final five.
And I think one of the other interesting things about him that I don't know if you can even say it about anybody else, is that, you know, he voted out a guy and then got him to align with him, and not just align with him, but stick with him until that guy got voted out again. I mean, how many people are capable of doing that?
He's very charismatic, especially in real life, and especially when he's not boozing, is, you know, a very charismatic and likable guy.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I think his social game is very, very good.
Yeah, so I think that's a real good spot for him.
Yeah.
You happy with that?
I'm happy. Okay. Again, I don't know the top 11,
yeah,
but I think that's a pretty good spot. So, with 11 spots to go, lots of possibilities here for the top 11.
All right, well, I guess we'll jump to the next one then. And this was, I think it was maybe the biggest gap or the second biggest gap, but Johnny Fairplay had like 2,800 points, and the person who came in 11th had 3,700.
Well, okay, so now we're getting into like the second tier.
Yes, this, I mean, that was a huge tier jump. All the people we just went through from 18 all the way up to 12, big tier jump to 11. Number 11, the greatest player of all time, Russell Hantz, baby.
Oh, wow. I'm very surprised. This seems very low for Russell Hantz. I would have thought... Yeah. Russell would have at least been the top five, maybe top six. But I do think that this is low for Russell. Now, I know that Russell is it would be tough for him to ever win a game of Survivor. That being said, it's hard to look at his resume and say that he's only the 11th best Survivor player when he really dominated almost two complete seasons.
Yes. And, you know, again, he's one of these people that's extremely polarizing. I mean, to put it into perspective, he was on 64% of the ballots, which is higher than anybody else we've talked about so far. But a lot of people that had him on their ballots had him in the 20th spot. I mean, I would venture to say he got more 20th place votes than anybody else in this contest.
Wow.
So, you know, a lot of people, I think they maybe hate Russell. In fact, a lot of the comment sections were like, no Russell Hantz, he better not make the top 20. But I do think a lot of people gave him maybe respect votes just to put him on their list at 20, just because I think they feel he deserves it.
I don't know if you have this information handy. Do you have how many first place votes for Russell Hantz?
Yes, I do.
Or anybody else from the top 20? Did any first place votes for any of 12 through 20?
Yeah, I mean, I have all those. All the people that we've talked about so far had either five or fewer first place votes.
Okay. What about Russell Hantz? First place votes for Russell?
Russell Hantz had 16 first place votes.
Okay.
And I don't know. I mean, I know, especially now.
That seems low to me. Yeah, still, 16 out of 528.
Yeah, I mean, if I could say a few good things about Russell. I'm a Russell fan myself. I know this will get me some crap from people, but I had him number two on my list. I could have him as low as five. I think he's kind of in the same tier with four or three other people. But I mean, I do think, you know, the way I look at it is I would vote for him if I was on a jury. I think he plays a real strong strategic game. You know, does he piss people off? Yeah, probably more than anybody. But I do think he is capable of winning a jury vote if he gets people who aren't as emotional as a Dave Ball or a Laura, and he gets more of the John Fincher Shambo types who respect his gameplay. So I don't think he can't win. I just think he needs the right cast to do it.
Or the right people to go up against.
Yes. If he's going up against Dreams and Cassandra, does he get nine votes? You know, it's certainly possible. Or at least enough to win.
Or, or you know, Twyla or Scout.
Yes.
That would be a good pairing, too. So I think that Russell, he does a lot to annoy people, and not just the people on the show, I think people in real life. But again, it's hard to look at that resume and say he's not even at the top 10. He would be in my top 10.
Yeah, I mean, if Amanda is going to make the top 17, doesn't Russell have to be higher than her?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, Russell, I mean, I think he's getting more votes from these juries than Amanda, too.
And, you know, again, this is sort of a timing issue, but if we do this after Samoa, when a lot of people were sympathetic, I mean, again, sort of like Fair Play almost, where people remember the antics, you know, after Samoa, he was beloved, you know, they felt sorry for him, or at least some people felt sorry for him that he didn't win. But I think people tend to remember basically everything post-merge, heroes versus villains, and on when he kind of turned into a douchebag.
I think I may have just misspoke. I think that I think Amanda, although I don't think she had many votes in Survivor China, I thought she has a few votes against Parvati, I think, in Micronesia.
Yeah, I think she did get three of eight.
She may have more total votes than Russell.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, I can't believe that Amanda is going to be able to get more votes than him if you play this game 100 times. I don't know that I can buy that when she's bumbling through her final speech and, you know, she's boring and dead behind the eyes. And, you know, I can't imagine that Russell wouldn't at least win some juries that she would not.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Russell, he needs to tone it down and not
definitely
be swinging for the fence. I just don't think I'm not sure if he's capable of that. Like, I don't know if he's capable of the kind of growth he needs to become, fulfill his potential. Because he has everything there. And he's also, so much of his game is based on deceit. So, without that of like, hey, trust me, I promise you, we're going to do this. You know, without that element, I don't know if he, ever can fulfill that potential.
Well, I think we'll get to find out here in 3 or 4 years, maybe. We'll get to see him play again.
If he's like a boxer and I'm his manager, I'm going to come in. I'm going to say, look, Russell, let's, you know, the time is our friend here. Let's let, you know, a year go by, 2 years go by, and then just tone it down a notch. You don't have to lie to every single person. You could make it, you can keep your word sometimes. Don't screw everybody over. Just, you know, a little over-aggressive, Russell.
And I think he's maybe the one person that if I could pick, like, to let him play again with 19 people who have never seen him, have no idea who he is, I think that would be maybe the most interesting Survivor experiment you could do is
And he would do great.
Yeah, I
and
think he would.
And he'd be right there. But the problem is that's never going to happen again.
Right. And yeah, it's one of those things I wish we could find out. But yeah, there's just no possible way to do it.
Yeah. So, unfortunately for Russell, that's not going to happen. The best thing that could happen for Russell is for somebody to come along on Survivor 23 and be the new villain of Survivor, and for that guy to really just take all the attention off of Russell, and for this guy, Jimmy Bag of Donuts. And, oh, Jimmy Bag of Donuts. He's the greatest villain ever. And people are like, everybody's forgotten about me. And that would be the best thing to happen to Russell.
And then the great moment at the Survivor 23 reunion when Jimmy Bag of Donuts says, Russell, if we get to play each other, I'll kick your ass out there. Survivor 24, Russell versus Jimmy Bag of Donuts.
Yeah, that would be pretty good.
Yeah.
Although it would probably be Boston Rob versus Jimmy Bag of Donuts,
yeah,
but
true.
You know, you get the idea. Yeah. All right, so on to the top 10. Oh my God!
Yes, so Russell came in with about 3,700 points, and the next person, number 10, had 4,200. So pretty sizable gap. There was a very clear top 10 from the get go. So coming in at number 10. One of your favorites, Brian Heidick.
Ah, the Iceman. I'm glad he didn't get forgotten.
Yes.
And another one-timer, so that gives us three already. But Brian Heidick, he really is his own worst enemy in terms of all this, that he did quite a bit to piss off both, you know, production and people at CBS and all these things. Otherwise, I'm sure you would have seen Brian Heidick back again.
Yes, between that and killing the puppy, I think those were the things that held him back from coming out again.
And interestingly, if you go back and try to figure out how to shoehorn Brian Heidick into Survivor All-Stars, it probably means no Boston Rob.
Right.
If you really take a look at it. Like, and maybe you say, okay, oh, maybe no Big Tom. You can go that way. Sure. But if Brian Heidick isn't just a total douche to everybody that he meets along the way at CBS and whatnot, probably Survivor history is totally changed.
Yes, and I think, you know, the worst part about not having Brian Heidick out there for All-Stars is that because he wasn't, then they had to put Sheehan in the cast. So it would have been a double bonus to have him there instead of Big Tom and then have a different woman in instead.
Yeah, it really was. It changes a lot of things up. So you got a ranking for Sheehan?
I hate to even give a ranking on her. She finished 67th overall.
Well, I always say I think that Sheehan gets a little too much play for being a very smart strategist and a smart survivor. 67, not super high. I guess I could live with that. Probably a little high.
Yeah,
a little bit of a reach.
She's another one like Fabio that I think is about 150 spots too high. I mean, for all the talk of how strategic she was, it's like, can you name me one thing she did? I don't think so.
Yeah, she's the only person that gets like credit for she made a horrendous error. And people talk about her that she's like it's almost like JT without the winning of Survivor token chains.
Without the winning or the personality or the likability or pretty much anything that makes JT him. Yes.
Yeah.
She had the dumb move down.
But Brian Heidick is he's the Iceman.
Yeah, and I know you're a fan of him, and I am too. I think he's a really good player, and I think he's one of those that kind of skates that fine line of is he almost too much of a douche, but he hides it better than somebody like Russell Hance.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that he's just very charming. I mean, he was a used car salesman, and you totally get that.
Yes.
He's your best friend until he screws you over. And you know, he's not as much of a showman as Russell. You know, he didn't have as like a ton of you know, great lines, and he just seemed a little sleazy. He did in the adult film,
yes,
doing the softcore porn and whatnot. But I mean, everybody found him somewhat likable, at least.
Certainly enough to align with him and stick with him until the end.
Yeah, and they felt like they could trust him. And the guy was dominant in the challenges, too.
Yes. And I think, you know, another thing you have to give him credit for is, again, maybe this isn't completely fair with Jan in the mix, but he got all those people to, you know, go with him, even though, I mean, he basically told Jan, you know, I'm not taking you to the finals. And she went with him anyway. And I think even against somebody who's very naive like Jan, that's still a very impressive thing to pull off. Not many people are capable of doing that.
Yeah, and he can eat a tarantula.
Yes.
So, like Brian Heidick, I think I would have Brian Heidick in my top 10. Maybe not right at 10. I might have him a little higher, but I got to see the rest of the list.
Okay.
Before I can say I have a problem with it.
Okay. Well,
but good for the listeners to recognize Brian Heidick and how great he was.
I will say, yeah, I got to give credit to the listeners because, like you, I thought he was one of those that was going to be forgotten. The fans of this podcast, they did not forget anybody. They're the hardcore fans, and they didn't forget anybody.
Yeah.
Which is good. Yeah.
Great job so far.
Yeah.
I got no major qualms with this list.
Okay, so coming in at number 9, about 200 points ahead of Brian Heidick, another two-timer and a winner, Tom Westman.
Okay, this is interesting. I think that Tom Westman might have been the other person back in my original top three that we were talking about with the Survivor Venn diagram. But another guy who is very well liked by the group. There, it seems strategic, very good with in the top three of the challenge competitors with Ozzy and maybe Boston Rob. Although Boston Rob didn't really kill it in the challenges this past season.
That's true.
He did at the end, win like the race through the maze, but he's up against like
Philip and
Andrea, Natalie, and Philip, so wasn't exactly the most amazing competition. And he did lose one to was it Andrea?
Ashley, right?
Ashley, yeah. Yeah, he did lose one to Ashley. I think so. Maybe, I don't know if Boston, we take Boston Rob out of that top three. Be a good horse race, though.
Yeah.
But Tom Westman, what can you say bad about Tom Westman? Tom Westman's a guy also who, on his second season, was one of these victim of circumstances where I don't think he got voted out for any other reason other than the fact that he was a winner and that he had a very good chance to win again on Heroes versus Villains.
Yeah, and I think, you know, especially if you just look at his first time, I mean, I tend to put much more weight on people's first time than an all-star season.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he kicked ass in Palau. I mean, he was dominant in challenges. He got people to follow him to the end where he was the leader and he got all the credit. And then he got to take Katie to the end, which, I mean, you know, nothing bad about Katie here, but, you know.
Love Katie.
Yeah, but, I mean, he was pretty much a lock to win against her. So,
yeah, he gets this Ian Rosenberger, number 51, just to quit flat out.
Yeah, that's a very underrated move from a guy who's known as being nice to kind of pull off that, I hate to even call it devious, but, you know, that's a very strategic move.
Yeah. So Tom Westman at 9, that feels pretty good for Tom Westman.
Yeah, I think that's a good – would you have him higher than that or kind of around that same area?
Again, hard for me to say. I didn't, you know, maybe I should have done my own top 20 ahead of time, but I didn't. So without seeing the top 8, hard for me to say.
But somewhere in that range, I think, is probably correct. Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
Okay. Well, we want to move on to number 8, finished about 250 points ahead of Tom. And for people tracking this along, Yule Kwan finishing in 8th place.
You could have gone with that. You'll never believe who's up next.
I didn't think that quickly, I guess. Yes, Yule Kwan right. Coming in number 8 had about 4,700 points. So
probably one of the smartest people to ever play Survivor. The guy is a genius.
Yes.
Without mincing words. He seems to be very nice, seems to be very likable. Probably not the most fun guy you're ever going to hang out with.
That's fair.
But very, you know, very strong in the challenges. Seems like a pretty stand-up guy. Got no problem with Yule.
Yeah, I mean, he's extremely likable. As you said, brilliant guy. And I think, you know, the fact that he only won 5-4, you know, people kind of look at that to maybe knock him down a little bit. But I mean, you know, the people who voted, the four that voted for Ozzy were voting because he was so great in challenges. So, you know, I think if he didn't have somebody that dominant in challenges up against him, he would have done better.
Yeah. I mean, I think Yule's a really great pick. Hard to find a flaw in Yule's game.
I think, you know, the only asterisk that you can really put with him is the idol having enough power to literally carry him to the final three without any risk. Mm-hmm. And that's the only bad thing you can say. But I do think he's such a smart and likable guy enough that this is, you know, he definitely deserves to be in the top 10, I think.
I think so. I mean, the guy is basically the closest that there is to just a Survivor playing robot.
Yes.
In that he's just a dominant physical competitor. He's going to figure out all the scenarios. Maybe he doesn't have the super charisma of somebody like a Boston Rob or a Parvati to really win people over with just charm. But outside of that, I think that if he's on a new season, put him out there with 19 new people, I think he's making the merge.
I think
so. And I think he's going far.
Yeah, I think he's one of those guys that's going to make the merge almost every time, and he's going to be the leader of a group.
Because nobody's ever going to say, we got to get rid of Yule.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll never guess who we have to vote off. So I think that's a good pick. Yule, but I think we'll never see him on Survivor again.
Yeah, I think there's no chance of that.
Yeah. And not because of the Brian Heidick reasons. I'm sure he was very nice to deal with. I think that he's just super boring.
Well, and I think he's maybe got other things going on in his life that he's much past Survivor at this point.
Seems a little past Survivor. Don't see him podcasting too much.
I don't think so. We'll get him on an Obama podcast, maybe, if that ever happens. But yeah, I don't think he'll be a Rob Has a Podcast guest anytime soon.
Yeah, you never know.
Well, if we did, it would be about 15 minutes long, I'm sure.
Yeah, it might not be the best podcast.
Nicole would fall asleep.
Oh. Nicole, that's rude.
I love Yule.
Sorry. Yeah.
Okay,
but
so.
Very good.
So moving
and
on.
Cook Islands, a very underrated season, I think.
Yeah, I can go with that.
Especially now, especially hypothetically, if anybody from Cook Islands were ever to go back on Survivor, I mean, between whatever person that might be, plus you have Yule, who actually won the season, plus you have Parvati, plus you have Penner in the mix, even Dr. Candace is there. Don't forget about the Billy Garcia.
Of course.
So you have a lot of people who, you know, it's almost like a who's who of the next 10 years of Survivor, or not 10 years, 10 seasons or whatever. So interesting.
Yeah, it's a good cast with a bad result. I mean, once they hit the final nine, it was very boring. But I think the cast itself was extremely strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, you ready for number seven?
Yes, so really 6 and 7 here were another extremely close race. They each got nearly 5,400 points, and they finished 19 points apart. So one extra first place vote would have been enough to bump number seven up to number six. That's how close it was.
Okay.
But so coming in at number seven, another one-time winner, Todd Herzog.
Yes. Todd, I got no problem with that. I think Todd is another, another guy really knows the game well, very likable, very social. I think that people would say, oh, well, he's not really a strong competitor in the challenges. But again, like, Johnny Fairplay, I'd say he's a tough SOB, in that, you know, he's not gonna, you know, a lot of times now the challenges are like, okay, wrestle. Not the guy I would pick in that, but you know, he's a tough guy, Todd Herzog.
Yes,
so,
and very strategic, I'd say. You know, one of the most strategic players ever. Is that fair to say?
I think it's certainly fair to say. And another one of these guys where if you don't get him before the merge, he's never getting voted off anywhere between the merge and the final five.
And I think that maybe the most interesting thing that I find about Todd, I actually just watched China again recently, and what I think impressed me the most is that you know, you have these dominant alliance leaders like Brian Heideck, Russell Hance, Boston Rob. You know, they're very obvious alpha male types that just took their alliance to the end. They bowled over everybody. Todd kind of did the same thing, even though he's, you know, 5'4" and about 100 pounds. He doesn't really fit that prototypical alpha male type of leader thing, but he did pull it off and he brought his group to the end. And I think you got to give him credit for that.
Well, I think there's really two types of players on Survivor. And I'm going to use the office to sort of frame this analogy. You basically have, there is Michael and there is Jim. And Michael is an alpha male that, or at least it aspires to be in terms of this analogy. But he is the boss. And he's the main guy, and he wants everybody to follow him and whatnot. And then there's Jim, who's the beta male, who is not really interested, isn't so much the leader per se, but is sort of, you know, manipulating things, though somebody else is actually the leader.
Right.
And Todd is definitely more in the category of Jim. He's more the beta male, where if I was going to go down the list, Yule is, you know, alpha male, Tom alpha male, Brian alpha male, but then I get to some of the other guys like Johnny Fairplay, more of the beta male, Ethan more of the beta male, at least in terms of his season, more of the Jim to Lex's Michael. And I think that's a great way to play the game of Survivor, and myself included, I would put myself in that same category of, you know, some, I don't want to be out in front, you know, leading right. the herd and being the target. I want somebody else out in front, and then I'll be, you know, maneuvering from sort of behind the scenes. I think Steven, I'd put him in that same category too, of the more Jim than Michael Scott.
Yes, and in many ways, those are the people that end up controlling the votes. I'm much like you, I sort of like the people who position themselves as swing votes as opposed to the people who just bowl over everybody as the alliance leader. And I mm-hmm. think Todd is capable of really doing both of those scenarios, which I don't think very many people are.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, Jean Robert, who was sort of the alpha male for a while, but then he leaves, and then it's sort of unclear who the leader is. I think you get the sense that maybe James thinks it's him. And then they get rid of James, and then it's sort of like a little bit of a free for all when there's no, you know, major person who's calling the shots. Where, you know, it's sort of like the parents are all gone at that point.
Yeah.
In that season. But yeah, good stuff. Love Todd Herzog.
Yeah, I think he's a great fit right around this area, just sort of outside the top five, but still belonging in that discussion at least.
Yeah, right there. All right, now we're down to the nitty-gritty.
All right, coming in at number 6, a mere 19 points ahead of Todd. One of my personal favorites, and I believe one of your personal favorites as well, Ceree Fields.
Ooh, I love Ceree, and I think that this might be a little low for Ceree.
I agree.
That's how much I love Ceree. I think that the only flaw that I, you know, in her game, we've talked about this a few times now, is that she's a liability early, but it depends what it is. Like in Heroes versus Villains, ironically, that liability didn't even come into play that much the season where she did get voted off before the merge. But if you can get an advantage where you can sit her out of some competitions early on, now I don't know if you necessarily want to do that. You may want to get rid of her before then, but she is one of my favorites. We talked to her not nearly enough, but we talked to her at the beginning of Survivor Nicaragua, and I thought she was one of the best guests that we've had. Just an infectious laugh, such a great personality. Love Ceree as a game player. I think it's terrible that she has never won to this point. And I don't know if she ever will be on the show again, but I always root for Ceree.
Yeah, I don't think she'll ever win, which is a shame. Again, I had a definite person in my number one spot, and then I sort of flip-flopped Russell and Ceree at 2 and 3 about 50 times. I don't have any problem putting Ceree as high as 2. I think she's a phenomenal player. You know, people always talk about how great of a social game Parvati has. Ceree's might even be better. I think mm-hmm. she's equally charming, and she's capable of charming any age, any sex. You know, I think she is, you know, like you said, her laugh is infectious. She's a joy to watch. But again, she also positions herself as the swing vote every time. So she's in an alliance on the bottom of it, but she's the one controlling the votes. And obviously that's what cost her in Heroes versus Villains. But I do think she's a fantastic player. And I think she's, at least for me, I think she's an absolute top three lock.
And the difference, I think, in her two games in Heroes versus Villains, in Heroes versus Villains, it's the one time that she's not the beta female.
Yes.
In the other two seasons, everybody else is calling the shots. She's sort of, you know, maybe is she the Pam in this analogy?
That seems mean. I think she's much better than Pam.
Better than Pam.
Yes.
But she's the beta female in that there's a strong leader in the first two seasons she's on, and she's sort of like manipulating from behind the scenes. But in the Heroes versus Villains tribe, I mean, who's the leader? Amanda? I mean, it's sort of Ciri calling the shots. And there's even that one part where she finds out that they're trying to do something different with the vote. And she's like yelling at people and like telling people that they have to vote this other way. She's almost the alpha female of the Heroes team at that point.
Yeah, she kind of got stuck on a tribe that was, I mean, no offense to any Heroes who are listening, but that entire tribe was very stupid aside from maybe JT. And yeah, she had no choice but to fill that role. And I think even though that's an example of her, you know, playing as the alpha female, which cost her, the fact that, you know, four people came up to her and said, hey, we're voting out, I guess it was Candace, you know, and she spun it right back around in 10 seconds and had everybody going, oh, yeah, Ciri's right. We got to vote the way that Ciri's saying. And I think that really speaks to the strength of her game.
Great player.
Yes.
And underrated at six. I think that's a steal at six.
I absolutely agree. And I love hearing her on the podcast as well. I mean, you talk about somebody who not only is a great player, but is extremely entertaining, both on TV and on this podcast. I think, you know, if you were making a ballot of all things combined, she'd have to be in the top three as well.
If I have the sixth pick in the Survivor draft and Ciri falls to me, I'm super happy.
I agree with you. She's great.
Yeah.
So we're both disappointed.
I would
with
love
her at
to
six.
Do a Survivor draft also. I think that would be a lot of fun.
You know,
that could be another podcast.
This is no joke. I took part in a Survivor draft recently.
Okay, how'd that go?
250-some players. It was to build the greatest possible roster for a season. And I believe Ciri actually went sixth overall in that. But,
yeah.
You know, very interesting way to look at the whole game and where people fall and how entertaining that
is. So your team is a season, not like a tribe?
Yes, you're building – well, I mean, you're building an entire season, you know, split it up however you want.
Okay.
And you should be happy to know you actually went number three overall in that draft. So congratulations.
Oh, the third pick. Somebody bust city.
I don't agree, but okay.
Okay. All right. So we're up to the top five.
In the top five. And again, so Ciri finished with just about 5,400 points. There was a monster gap, the biggest one overall. The person who came in fifth had 6,700 points. So,
yeah.
I mean, you're talking about a monster gap. There was no question from the very beginning who the top five were going to be. And over three-fourths of the first-place votes were for one of these people in the top five. So,
okay.
For the most part, we got very reasonable ballots, and that's why these people are in the top five.
For the most part.
Yes. For the most part, yeah. A couple of the Dreams ballots, maybe not as much, but yes.
Okay.
So coming in at number five, the person I had number one on my list, Rob Cesternino.
Thank you. I think a little too high for the me. A little bit. Like I'm not, again, not really my place. That's, I didn't want to make my own list, and I don't want to place myself. And I thank you to everybody who voted for me. I really appreciate it. But I don't know. I don't know how to sort of frame this.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this as well, and you know, I knew you wouldn't be open to talking about your game and how great you are. So I figured I will do it. Okay, is that fair?
Okay, you can eulogize me, but I'm not dead.
Yes. So, and the biggest thing I'll say is you actually were on the highest number. You were on the most ballots overall. You were on 95% of the ballots.
Well, I did get a little bit of backlash for doing this list, and I believe it was one David Healy who said, you know, this really isn't fair because everybody who listens to the show, that they already like Rob and they listen to him, and then they're all going to vote for him. So this list isn't really fair because Rob is going to be too high on the list.
You know, I see David their Healy. Point, but I can't agree with that because, you know, put it in perspective – 500 some ballots, you had 19 first place votes. So it wasn't like an overwhelming number of people just put you number one. You know, but you know, you were on the most ballots, I'm sure in part because this is your podcast, but I think it also is because you're a great player. And so now if I can suck kneecaps here from,
so we'll allow you to suck kneecaps.
You know, I've said all along, and this was even before I knew about your podcast, I do think it's not even close. I think you are absolutely the greatest player to ever play the game. I think, you know, I tend to judge heavily on somebody's first time out. And I think if you judged the boot order or whatever you want to call it, I think it's absolutely flawless. And aside from that, I think you were great at getting people on your side. So, you know, people liked you, but at the same time, you were never an alliance leader. And so you were always able to be that swing vote. And, you know, every vote you went to, you did control. Is that fair?
At least certainly in the Amazon.
Yes. So, I think you have to give yourself major credit for that. And again, I think, you know, you flipped on the fraternity alliance or whatever you want to call it with Alex, Heidi, and Jenna.
Yeah.
But you were still able to gain their respect. And I mean, I know you won't admit this, but I think if you get to the final two with Jenna or Matt, I think you blow them out of the water. It's not even close. And basically, you know, if you stand on a tree stump for a little longer, you're a millionaire and you're looked at as one of the greatest players ever. Me, I don't really weigh your tree stump standing abilities into it. I think there are plenty of challenges you would win in that case. And so I got you number one. I don't think it's even close.
Well, thanks, buddy. I definitely appreciate it. I think, if I'm going to rejigger the list at all, I think I'm a little high and, Not like
Fabio.
Yeah, not like Fabio. Yes. I think Ceri is a little low. I just think that if we're looking at just a track record, I think I feel weird that I'm arguing against myself. But Ceri's resume, I think, is better than my resume because she basically did the same thing twice. If you're saying, okay, my Amazon equals Ceri's what was the first? Panama. But then she also has the other part of her resume. Her resume is a page longer than mine.
Well, could we flip that then to say that your All-Stars game is comparable to her heroes versus villains, and you've sort of been penalized because, I mean, not to say this in the wrong way, but if you were a woman, you would certainly have been out there a third time by now, I think. You know,
probably. That's probably.
Being a man, you have more competition for those spots.
More competition.
Yeah, I think if you're a woman, you're on the heroes versus villains
season.
Now,
am I an attractive, am I an attractive woman, or am I as attractive of a man, if I'm in the middle of the pack of attractiveness of a man, am I in the middle of the pack of a very attractive woman?
I think you could go either way. I mean, I think no matter what, you at least make the season and do well. So, okay. You know, I think you'd make a very beautiful woman, though. So,
yeah. Okay. Ooh. Am I like a Parvati? Do I use my feminine charm to my advantage?
I hope not.
Oh, okay. Anyway. So I just think that, you know, there's a couple people where their resume is just longer than my resume here.
That's true. Yeah. And I think, you know, like I said,
even if you want to say, okay, this one season was better than this season, but you know, somebody like Ceri has two seasons. Again, not my place, was not my list, but, that's sort of where my head is at. Even Russell, I think that Russell's resume is more impressive than my resume.
But I do think at some point the resume can only factor in so much, and you also have to put, I hate to call it potential, but the way I look at it is if you play 100 times, you know, how well does each person do overall? And I think you would end up doing better than Russell over 100 times, as well as everyone else. But yeah. So, yeah, I'll apologize for sucking kneecaps. I hope people aren't going to give me crap for giving you too much credit here. But
okay. Well, I do appreciate it.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, thanks to everybody who voted. So we got a top four now.
Yes.
Now, this podcast has gone very long. So we have four people. I've got a little bit of a checklist here.
Yeah, and I think we might have to go the checklist way here, because I think people know who the top four are going to be.
Well, yeah, so I've got on my checklist, and tell me if I'm wrong here, maybe there was an upset. I've got, I know Boston Rob hasn't been mentioned. I know Parvati hasn't been mentioned. I know Richard Hatch hasn't been mentioned. I know Sandra hasn't been mentioned. Am I correct in assuming that these are going to be the four people that are still out there?
Yes, these are absolutely the four.
So now it comes down to the order. So I'm very curious here. Where did the listeners go with number four?
Okay, number four, finishing about 300 or 400 points ahead of you, Richard Hatch.
Interesting.
And, you know, he got 46 first-place votes, which up until now you've been the highest. You had 19, so... You know, a big jump into these top four as far as first place ballots go.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, how do you feel about Richard Hatch at number four?
I feel good about Richard Hatch. I feel a Survivor Hall of Famer. I think he belongs there. Really, just an amazing. He's a Survivor icon. And I've had this debate with Nicole a few times on the podcast, so that she says, well, did he really do anything? That he played with a bunch of people who didn't really know the game? I don't know. I mean, he was head and shoulders above the rest of the people on that first island. And the guy seems to know the game, you know, backwards and forwards. The throw out the Survivor All-Stars, because that people really didn't even want to give him a chance in that game. So I don't really know exactly. You know, it's almost like what you said with Russell Hance, of if we were to put Richard on an island with a bunch of new people who didn't know who he was, how would he do?
Yeah, new people that
I don't know.
Knew the game but didn't know him.
But he's been such an icon and so linked
yes.
to the game. And I really do think... we're going to see Richard Hatch play Survivor one more time before this is all said and done.
And I think, you know, again, I hate to go back to like the potential thing, but he's a brilliant guy. I think he's one of the smartest people that's ever been on the show. And I don't just mean that in terms of intelligence, but also strategic intelligence and the way he thinks about the game. You know, and the time you had him on the podcast, I know he kind of touched on sort of his views on the current game. He's still one of those guys that 20 seasons later, he's up on the strategy. He
understands.
He's seen
them all. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a brilliant guy. So I think, you know, it's a very first spot, even if you're going to kind of take a couple points away because he played with, you know, 15 people who had no clue what they were doing.
Some noobs.
Yes.
And he was pooning noobs way back when. And now, if we're going to talk about flaws here, he does rub people the wrong way, and sometimes figuratively, and sometimes not figuratively.
Yeah, we're not talking about the Sue Hawk version here, though, right?
Yes. So he can get under people's skin, but in some ways, I think that's intentional.
And I think in many ways, it almost helps him because, you know, to compare him to somebody like Ethan, who's just an extremely likable, nice guy that nobody has a problem with. The fact that Richard is kind of arrogant at times almost makes you want to take him to the end as, oh, you know, I'll beat this guy because nobody likes him. And then you get there and he smokes you.
And I'm telling you, if he played again, his strategy would be like, nobody will vote for me. I won already. People don't like me. I get on people's nerves. Take me to the end. And I think I would have to say that makes sense.
So do you think, knowing what we know about Survivor history, and we both agree he's going to come back, do you think with his legacy, is he capable of ever winning a season at this
point? Is it an all-star season, or is it like a Robin Russell versus 18 new people?
Let's say you can define it any way you want. Can you build a season to where he wins?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think in either scenario, I think you could find a way for him to win, because it just comes down to who is he up against. Is he up against, you know, Russell Hance and Phillip in the final three? Like, I think he has a leg up there.
Definitely.
So you never say never with Survivor.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's fair because before Redemption Island, I thought there's no way in hell Boston Rob has any chance to win this game.
I thought that until a week before the finale. Yeah. I said, no way they're going to give Boston Rob the money.
Yeah, so I think it's certainly possible. You'd have to construct a season where you have a lot of naive Natalie types out there, you know, people like that who helped Boston Rob get to where he was. You need those same types of players. But I do think he could win, you know, at some point. I'm not sure it's now. I think if he's out on season 24, probably not. But, you know, 5-6 seasons down the road, I definitely think he's capable of winning.
And if it's a new season with a bunch of new people, like, does Natalie Tenorelli even know who Richard Hatch is?
Probably not. Especially if you're waiting a couple years now, you're talking about people who might have been 8 years old when that season was on.
Right. All right. Top three. So Hatch is off the board. I think I know where this is going, but why don't you lay it on me?
Okay, so number three and number two was another very, very close race. They finished less than 100 points apart. And actually, after about 375 ballots, they were within 2 points of each other. So it was close the entire way. One person pulled away very late. But coming in at number three, making an appearance on 87% of the ballots and getting 101 first-place votes, Survivor's only two-time winner, Sandra Diaz-Twine.
Okay. Well, we've had the debate for many, many, since the finale of Heroes vs. Villains. It's actually the most commented show we've ever done, and it turned into a big debate over who is better, Parvati or Sandra. I've said if I had a vote on that season, I would give it to Parvati, only because I think she played I don't want to say the better game, but the more impressive game to me, with playing the idols to protect Sandra and Jerry and all that stuff. And I know that the stench of Russell was just too much for people to overcome. But Sandra is just amazing as far as percentages goes. I mean, she's always going to be there. If she plays 100 times, is she in the final four 90 times?
Are you asking me? Because I would say
yeah.
No. But
I mean, that's probably a little outrageous. But yeah. I mean, is she in the final four over 50% of the time?
I don't think so. But again, I probably shouldn't jump in here too much. I'm not the biggest Sandra fan as far as strategy goes, so I'm probably not the best person to ask about this.
I mean, by the very nature of the name of the show is Survivor, she just survives all of these votes. Like, it's never there. You know, they never can get her.
The one thing that I will say that kind of makes me question her, you know, she's been on this podcast before, and the thing she said that always stuck in my mind is that she admitted that she never plays the game long term. She's always playing 3 days at a time. Mm-hmm. And as a strategist, a fan of the strategist, I don't like that. I think it's very short-sighted, and a lot of times it will leave you – you know, she doesn't control her own destiny, you know. And I think, you know, it's like if you replace her up until the final four with, you know, say some 20-year-old girl bikini type, you know, they play a very comparable game up until the final four. So that's the one issue I have with her, is I think she's – most of her game is very replaceable. Now, when she gets to the end, she's very good at getting a jury to vote for her. But I just feel like the one problem I have is she doesn't control her destiny in the game. She doesn't control votes. She just tries to slide through.
If we were going to use the Big Brother terms, is Sandra a floater?
And I think if you stick Sandra on Big Brother, she's a fantastic Big Brother player. Like, one of the best ever. But on Survivor, I'm not as... big of a fan as most people.
That fieriness, that temper isn't so well suited to the Big Brother house.
That's true, but I think the basic strategy of how she plays.
The strategy, yes.
Because I think Big Brother, you do have to play more of a week-to-week game as opposed to focusing extremely long-term.
Yeah, very interesting. I'd be interested to hear what Sandra has to say about how Sandra thinks she would do on Big Brother.
Yeah, I think, well, I'm sure she would say she would win, but, you know, humility is not a problem she has.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do think she'd be, this is just my opinion, and I'm just, you know, one of your dumb fans, but I do think she'd be better on Big Brother than Survivor. But, you know, who am I? I mean, she's won Survivor twice.
Well, so. you are a guy who tallied 528 votes 1 through 20. So
yeah, I think that says something bad about me. Something good.
Okay, so we know where Sandra is, and I know we've had this debate for so long, and not to mention the I don't know if it's going to be well received for the Russell fans that Russell is at 11 on this list, that Sandra is so high on this list. But we're down to two spots here. And so I've got on my checklist, I've got Boston Rob and I've got Parvati.
Yes.
So I guess the question is, how do you want to do this? Why don't you give us number one, and then we'll talk about the difference between, we'll talk about both of these people at the same time.
Okay. So I'll tell you that at the very beginning, after 100 or so ballots, it was kind of close.
And I'll give you my prediction also.
Okay, yeah.
But you keep going.
It was very close at the beginning, but then the person who was number one started to pull away. It really didn't end up being very close at all, actually, at least not in my opinion. The person who was number one, it was never in doubt once I hit about half of the ballots.
Yeah.
So the gap, to put it into perspective, person at number two finished with 7,500 points. Person at number one finished with 8,147. So you're talking 650 points, and you know, a perfect score, like I said, is like 10,500. So to get 8,100 is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So coming in at number one, the greatest Survivor player of all time, according to 528 Rob Has a Podcast listeners.
I got to think that it's Boston Rob, because I think that Boston Rob was a Survivor Hall of Famer before he was a Survivor Hall of Famer before he even won this season. And then to have won this season, and it's so recent, and it's in everybody's minds. I got to think it's you guys went Boston Rob over Parvati.
How sure are you of that? Like, if you had to put a bet on
it. I would say I would be very surprised. I'd say I'm about 90% sure.
Okay, that's fair. All right, so you want me to give who it is?
Yes.
Number one.
With a bullet.
The greatest player ever, according to you guys, Parvati Shallow.
Oh, a shocker.
A big upset, yes.
Yeah.
And well, it was not that close.
Really? Well, I have no problem with the pick. I think Parvati is a great player, and as is Boston Rob. But I'm very surprised to hear that that you guys went Parvati. Good for you guys in not just being whatever you saw most recently being affecting you guys. So I guess let's start with Boston Rob, and I mean, he is the triple threat in that we have the strategic and social. And then, of course, with strategic, so physical, and he has all these three things working for him.
Yeah, I mean, dare we say he's the now that we've seen him play a fourth time, is he the ultimate Venn diagram? He fits all three of those as much as anybody possibly could.
Well, I wonder if Parvati is the ultimate Venn diagram.
That's true. I can see that. I guess I think Boston Rob is better in maybe the group challenges.
Yes, that he single-handedly is more of a factor pre-merge probably than any other Survivor.
Yes, definitely.
So he's a dominant pre-merge player for the most part, and it's funny because this was not his history as a Survivor player. He came into Survivor as a guy who lost most of the challenges pre-merge in his first season, and then somehow turned that around where he's just a very winning coach. not the guy coach, but he did a 180 again, not the 180
that's
movie.
Perfect,
but he did a 180 in his Survivor career. Although he was down 3-1 early on in Survivor Redemption Island, he was redeemed in being able to tie it up going into the merge.
Now, do you think it hurts him that he's played? It took him four times to win, as opposed to Parvati, who only took two times. I mean, do you think that's what ultimately did it and dropped him down to second?
I'm not sure exactly what the reasoning was to drop him down to second. But I mean, he did make the finals in his second appearance. So it wasn't like he was, you know, scuffling through three seasons and then finally broke through. So he did have and perhaps one of the more dominant seasons that's ever been played of Survivor and Survivor All-Stars. So, it seems like it just took him a few times through and maybe like 10 years of personal growth to get to the point where, he wasn't just screwing people over, left and right, to win the game. I have no problem with Parvati, as the people's champion here. She is the triple threat as well. Very strategic, extremely charming, and super strong and physical, and really has a way with these endurance challenges that even Boston Rob himself may not even have.
Yeah, I think all that time at ESP Wellness and traveling across the globe is certainly giving her a leg up in those, you know, hold your hand over your head for 6 hours types of challenges.
Yeah. So forget about it as far as, you know, trying to beat her in the final three, you know, hold on to a stick or whatever the, you know, the dopey challenges that they come up with. So Parvati would just be extremely tough to beat. And it's like, she's another one. If you don't get rid of her pre-merge, she's a tough customer. I know in Cook Islands, they got rid of her in the top seven, but, you know, we're not really looking at Boston Rob 1.0 either. So, it's just a tough customer.
And I think the interesting thing with both her and Boston Rob finishing one and two is that you could certainly argue, at least, that they've both been screwed over by a jury, or maybe that's not the right way, but you could argue that they were the best player in a season that they did not win. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, the fans of this podcast ultimately ranked both of them ahead of Sander, who's 2-for-2. And, you know, I think that kind of brings an interesting argument in, which is, you know, does the best player always win? And, you know, clearly the majority seem to think that that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's a the game isn't flawed. Sorry, Russell. But I think that sometimes, you know, there are a lot of factors that go into who wins. And it's not necessarily, you know, who was the best person in that particular season, at least in the case of not taking anything away from Sandra, who's great. And I think that I have no problem with her being at number three. I just think that the way that Parvati and Boston Robert play the game, I think, is a little bit more of like they're sort of engineering their own fate,
yes,
in a way, more so than Sandra is.
Yeah, I think they're both certainly more in control of their own game as opposed to Sandra, who basically puts her hopes on other people to make decisions that aren't "let's vote out Sandra."
And you would never call either of those other players a floater.
Definitely not.
Yeah. So, congrats to everybody on the list, everybody who voted on the list. This was an outstanding job, Kaz, and thank you so much. I had no idea that so many people were going to vote and this was going to be so much work.
I didn't either. I mean, it really wasn't. It wasn't as bad as I probably made it sound. I mean, I got it down to a science where I was getting these ballots in about 30 seconds. But
wow.
Yeah, I was blown away by how much interest there was in this. I thought it would be 150, 160 ballots maybe. So to get, you know, that many in the first day or two and then to hit 500, I was just stunned. But, you know, I think that's great. I think it speaks to how popular the podcast is and how interested in these types of discussions people are.
Any other interesting factoids you want to give us before we wrap this thing up?
No, I mean, I think we kind of went through all the stuff beforehand, you know. I think we covered pretty much all the interesting stuff, all the bad players who got votes, all the surprising first place. You know, that was all the fun stuff. But, you know, ultimately, well, I just, you know, I think it's great that so many people voted, and I got to thank everybody for doing that.
Yeah, well, if you could, if it's possible, I think people would love to see the actual list and see that. I think it would be an interesting addition to this podcast.
Yeah, I can absolutely post that. I've got, 200-some people on this list, and I'll see if I can find a way to post that somewhere on your site, or maybe I'll send it to you. But I'm sure we can get that posted somewhere to where people can see where every single person ranked.
Well, Kaz, thank you so much. We are all we owe you a debt of gratitude for putting together this list. This was a lot of fun, and I'm glad we got a chance to do this.
Yeah, no problem doing it. I actually enjoyed it, and it was great coming on the podcast and talking to you. And you know, just thanks for having me on, and thanks to everybody for voting.
All right, well, no problem. And for everybody else, Nicole and I are going to be coming back. We want to get a friggin' five in somewhere along the way, but I think maybe we might do one more Big Brother podcast this week before we get to some our friggin' fiving. But thanks for everybody who made it about 2.5 hours into this thing. And thanks so much to Kaz for doing such a great job with the list. And until next time, we'll talk to you later. Take care, everybody.